All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m., as I am every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell, and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. It is Friday, so that means all of our regular Friday features will be happening later in the show. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. It is St. Patrick's Day weekend, so we're going to talk about some fun facts about St. Patrick's Day, and we're going to talk about the best Irish movies of all time. And coming up after the 1:30 news, joining us will be Brian Costello. He is a piper for the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band. Shannon Rovers have been around for many, many years and play all kinds of great events. And it's going to be a busy weekend for Brian, as it is every St. Patrick's Day weekend for the Shannon Rovers. So we'll talk about the Shannon Rovers, and we'll talk about Brian's history and all that cool stuff. And you can follow the Shannon Rovers on Twitter at Shannon Rovers. And on Facebook at Shannon Rovers Pipe Band. And they have a website, shannonrovers.com. So we'll talk to Brian all about what it's like to play the bagpipes as part of the Shannon Rovers. So that's coming up. And like I mentioned, our regular features, You Big Dummy, that's where we take real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who is the biggest dummy. We read them and vote on who's the biggest dummy. We also have Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We collect them and play them back every Friday morning. Nick D Show Spies, same kind of thing. Listen to the radio station 24/7. Whenever I'm mentioned or the show is mentioned, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot all the info down, and again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. And you can stay connected with us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. So let's say hello to the crew this morning. Producing the show this morning is Ben Anderson. Ben, how are you?
Hungry.
You're hungry?
Man, I'm ready for corned beef and cabbage and shepherd pies. And,
okay.
Yeah, the right. Whole works.
What do you got going this weekend?
I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here.
Okay.
So I got to fit it in somehow.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Ben's producing this morning, and in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well.
Good. What do you got planned for the weekend?
Anyway? Again, I don't really have any plans, but it's going to be good because I sound like a bad parent. We're kidless, so Jeannie and I get some, you know, some fun time.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So. There you go. All right. Anybody, you guys, Vic, are you going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day at all this weekend?
I'm going to go down to the parade, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Cool. That's something I always do each year, you know, and it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. You know, usually
it'll be chilly.
It's chilly every year, and it looks like we'll get some sunshine, so
yeah.
Nope, there's no, you know, real excuse for me not to. So.
Well, when you get down there, you'll see the Shannon Rovers.
Yeah, that's cool. So I can't wait to listen to
the bagpipers.
To Brian, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk to Brian in just a little bit. That's going to be fun. I'm not a massive fan of St. Patrick's Day because when I was a drinking man, I was a professional drinking man. Like, I wasn't an amateur at all. I knew how to drink. Trust me, I knew how to drink. And the thing about St. Patrick's Day is there's a lot of people who go out who don't know how to drink.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it makes me nuts.
And you'll agree with me here. You see a lot of people that are too young to be legally drinking.
Oh, absolutely.
They haven't yet learned how to do it.
You're absolutely correctly. Right. Absolutely right. Like, I would never, like, I was, you know, I went to a bar every free night that I had. I would be in a bar hanging out. Normally, you know, in the last few years of my drinking days, it was Ricochet's in Lincoln Square. I was there every day. But I would never go on St. Patrick's Day or the weekend of St. Patrick's Day. There's no way that I would go to a bar.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. It gets ridiculous. But I'll go to the parade. And you know, now, you know, I know a few years ago wasn't the case, but now, you know, they don't even allow drinking.
Yeah.
People kind of get loaded up before they get there,
they do.
But it doesn't seem as bad, really.
I'll tell you what. When I did, for a long time, I did a Saturday night show, a Saturday evening show. And on St. Patrick's Day weekend, it was always a nightmare getting down here. Just a nightmare.
Go ahead.
No, because, you know, people start drinking like 9 in the morning on St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't make any sense, you know? And these are people who shouldn't be drinking excessively because they don't drink all year and then suddenly they're going to drink a half a bottle of Jameson. I mean, that just doesn't work out that way. Doesn't make any sense.
That was the bane of my existence for 20-something years.
Well, yeah, I can imagine, because you worked the bar circuit.
Yeah.
But I would come down here to do my Saturday show. I had a Saturday show that at one point started at 8 p.m., so I would come down here between 5:30 and 6, and it was insane. It was insane. I mean, at that point, the parade had been over for hours, but the drunks that were just still milling around downtown, and I would take the blue line down, and the blue line was loaded with people who were just completely hammered. And it's just like, the walk from Clark, so we get off at Clark and Lake, the walk from Clark and Lake to the Tribune building was insane, was absolutely insane. And so I just, you know, I don't know, man.
I know the Metra, just not to be a party pooper, but you're not supposed to drink on the train. So if you do want to load up, you better do it before the train.
Well, yeah.
Because
I mean,
they don't allow that on the trains anymore on Metra.
They're pretty strict on it, too.
Yeah.
For the holiday, anyway. Yeah,
yeah, for St. Patrick's Day.
Just for the holiday,
people go nuts, man.
Or for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I mean, people go nuts. Now, I love, I'm half Irish. I love St. Patrick's Day and celebrate everything about it. I think it's a lot of fun. I just think the people who go out to think it's just an excuse to get hammered, that's what ruins a lot of it. You know
what
I mean?
And they start, when they get so drunk, they start climbing on things in the city. It's just not even safe. And then like last year I was trying to get back to my apartment before the madness began.
Yeah.
And there was a girl who I know she was not legal. She looked to me like she was about 15.
Oh,
and she was puking at 10 a.m. So that's what happens.
That's a common occurrence on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely common occurrence. Like I said, people start drinking around 9. You know, the parade starts at noon, and they want to be, they want to be good and hammered by the time the parade starts.
right.
So they start drinking 8:39 in the morning. And then, like, you know, they don't drink during the parade, and then after the parade, it's time to drink more, so they go to a pub, and they get loaded, and then by that point, they can't even stand up straight, and they can't even walk. But when I was a drinker, I'd walk from the from the train, to work, and I'd be like, you're an amateur, you know, like I'm a professional. I know how to handle my liquor. Look at you throwing up at noon. You know what I mean? So anyway, but it's, you know what? It's a fun holiday. People enjoy it. And, and you know, they're going to dye the river green. And actually what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and, we're going to answer the question on how do they dye the Chicago River green for St. Patrick's Day. And we did learn last week when we were talking about some facts about the Shamrock Shake. I don't know if you heard this or not, Vic.
They use the same stuff in that?
No. No, that they used to pour Shamrock Shake into the river just to be a part of St. Patrick's Day. They used to pour the McDonald's would team up with the city and pour a bunch of Shamrock Shake into the river.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was probably the healthiest thing in the river was the Shamrock Shake.
Yeah, it can't hurt it, right?
No, exactly. Yeah, the Chicago River? What, are you kidding me?
It's gotten better apparently over the years.
No, there was a time when it was an oof.
Yeah, it's apparently gotten better, but there's still, when you go to like kayak in the river, they still tell you,
Yeah,
don't, if anything gets into your mouth or you fall in. in, God forbid, you're supposed to immediately go shower and you have to get out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Anyway, it's going to turn green. Greener than it already is, as I should say.
Yeah.
But it's going to be turn green, and we'll tell you how they dye the river for St. Patrick's Day. And among other fun St. Patrick's Day stories that we've got, we're going to talk about best Irish movies of all time. So keep those in your mind. And then Brian Costello of the Shannon Rovers is going to join us after the 1:30 news to talk about what a busy weekend he's going to have on St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Here's the deal. Just be safe and be smart. That's all I'm saying. Have fun. It's a great holiday. Eat a bunch of corned beef and cabbage. But just be safe and be smart. That's all I'm saying. All right, we'll break and we'll come back. Hey, we'll tell you about how they turn the river green here in Chicago. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up, you big dummy, straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies. We'll hear some funky music with Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in, too, at 312-981-7200 for Fly Jams, 312-981-7200. Brian Costello from the Shannon Rover Irish Pipe Band is going to join us as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day on the show this morning. We got some other St. Patrick's Day topics that we're going to get to and some fun facts. And we're going to talk about the best Irish movies of all time. So, celebrating St. Patrick's Day this weekend. Obviously one of the big traditions here in Chicago is that they dye the Chicago River, which is right outside my window here. They dye it green for St. Patrick's Day. It's been a tradition, you know, for so many years. But some people wonder how they do it. And it wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day, a St. Patrick's Day celebration in Chicago without 400,000 spectators crowding the banks of the Chicago River to ooh and ah at its temporarily emerald green tinge. But how do officials turn the water green? First, bit of history. The dyeing tradition became an annual thing nearly 60 years ago, in 1962, but its real origins go back even further. In the early days of his administration, Mayor of Chicago Richard J. Daley was a man on a mission to develop the city's riverfront area. There was one problem. The river itself was a sewage-filled eyesore. In order to get to the bottom of the city's pollution problem and pinpoint the exact places where waste was being discarded in the waterway and by whom, Daley authorized the pouring of a special green dye into the river that would allow them to see exactly where the dumping was occurring. And then you fast forward to late 1961 when Stephen Bailey, part of the Chicago Journeyman Plumbers Local, the city's St. Patrick's Day parade chairman and childhood friend of Daley's, witnessed a colleague's green-soaked coveralls following a day of pouring Daley's dye into the river. That gave Bailey an idea. They could streak the Chicago River green. If they could streak the Chicago River green, why not turn it all green? 3 months later, revelers got their first look at an ecto-cooler-colored river when the city poured 100 pounds of the chemical into the water. They got a really good look, too, as the river remained green for an entire week. Over the next several years, the same practice was repeated again, and it was carried out by the Plumbers Local. The only difference was that the amount of dye used was cut in half over the next 2 years until they finally arrived at the magic number, which is 25 pounds of dye for 1 day of green water. Unfortunately, the dye that was intended to help stop pollution was an oil-based fluorescent and that too many environmentalists warned was actually damaging the river even more. After fierce lobbying, eco-minded heads prevailed, and in 1966, the parade organizers began using a powdered vegetable-based dye. So, that's how they've been doing it. While the exact formula of the orange powder, yes, it's orange until it's mixed with water, is kept top secret. In 2003, one of the parade organizers told a reporter that revealing the formula would be akin to, quote, telling where the leprechaun hides its gold. There are plenty of details that the committee lets even non-leprechauns in on, though. The dyeing process will begin at 9 a.m. on the morning of the parade, which, of course, is tomorrow, March 16th. It's always held on a Saturday, when six members of the local plumbers union hop aboard two boats, four of them on the larger vessel, the remaining two on the smaller boat. The larger boat heads out onto the water first, with three members of the crew using flour sifters to spread the dye into the river. The smaller boat follows closely behind in order to help disperse the substance. The best place to catch a glimpse is from the east side of Michigan Avenue or on upper or lower Wacker Drive between Michigan Avenue and Columbus Drive. Approximately 45 minutes later, voila, the Chicago River is green. But don't expect it to stay that way. These days, the color only sticks around for about 5 hours, which is roughly the same amount of time it takes to get a perfectly poured pint of Guinness if you venture out to an Irish pub on St. Patrick's Day. So that's how it's done, and they'll do it again 9 a.m. on Saturday. I'll tell you what, from my vantage point, I'll tell you, from my studio here, Studio D, if somebody's in here Saturday morning, I don't know who's on it Saturday morning at 9. It's is that Lou? Yeah, Lou's on.
Yeah, Lou's on.
So Lou, I don't know if Lou, does Lou do his show from in here, or does he do it in A? Because if he does it from in here, he's going to get the best view. You just turn completely around where I'm sitting, get up and stand right at the corner of the building, and you can see the whole thing.
You see, yeah, straight
down the river. It's a beautiful, straight down the river. Like, this is the best view.
Man, I hope Mazur is here Saturday morning, because he takes awesome photos, and if he got one from up here...
Yeah, from this studio. I'm telling you, the vantage point from here is perfect for the river. Like, this would be a great place if you want to get out of the cold and get away from the crowd, but you want to see the actual Chicago River turn green. Come up here to studio. Come up, everybody. Come on up here to Studio D. Come up to the Allstate Skyline Studio D. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. But yeah, I don't know if Lou does his show from in here, but if he does, he's going to have a fantastic view. He should take some pictures. So Lou, if you're listening, he's not. It's 1:25 in the morning. He's asleep. But get a camera in here and maybe take a couple of shots of it, because this is a beautiful view. And this is the first time. This is the first St. Patrick's Day that we've spent in this building.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get very good views of the river. We got kind of a view of the river in the Trib building, but it was blocked and we were too far away. But we're like right on top of the river here, right at Columbus and Wacker.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's a fun tradition though, man. You know, and you see pictures of it all over the place, and the media covers it. It's always just a lot of fun. It's a really, really cool tradition. Nobody else does it, you know. And as Vic was mentioning in his in the report there that he ran about how much money people spend, of course this is number this city is number one in terms of like celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And Chicago is known as the biggest St. Patrick's Day celebrating city in the country, which is a pretty good considering there's a city called Boston and a city called New York. but that's pretty cool. So anyway, that's how they do it. It's an orange powder, not a green powder. It turns green. They disperse it. It'll be out there for about 5 hours. So get down here, take some pictures, and get some video of it. And anybody who's working at WGN on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, you need to step into this studio and look out the window behind me, because you'll get a fabulous view. All right. So that's coming up. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We're going to have more St. Patrick's Day stories and some fun facts about the holiday. And we're going to talk about the best Irish movies of all time celebrating St. Patrick's Day. We're going to take a break for the news. And when we come back, Brian Costello, who is a piper from the Shannon Rovers, is going to join us to talk about the Shannon Rovers and his what will be a very busy weekend for him. And that's coming up right after the news, which is after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It is a Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features will be happening. Fly Jams Friday, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, You Big Dummy, all coming up right here on 720 WGN. And it is St. Patrick's Day weekend, so we've got some more St. Patrick's Day stories to share with you, and we're going to run down some of the best Irish movies of all time. That's all coming up on the show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Nick D Show, and Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, it is St. Patrick's Day weekend. It's going to be a very, very, very busy weekend for my guest. Brian Costello is a piper for the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band. played with the band for several decades, there's a lot of history behind this band, and they're going to have a very, very busy weekend playing in downtown Chicago for St. Patrick's Day's parade and on Saturday, and then on the Southside parade on Sunday and other places as well. You can follow the band on Twitter at Shannon Rovers and on Facebook at Shannon Rovers Pipe Band. And we want to welcome Brian Costello to the show. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about your background. Are you a Chicagoan?
I grew up in Elmhurst my whole life, and okay. Right here now.
Oh, okay. And when did you start playing the pipes?
My wife got me lessons to play the pipes when I turned 30, so I've been doing it now for 23 years.
Wow. And what was it? Were you interested in that? I mean, was that a gift that was not a surprise to you? Were you something you wanted?
It was one of these. I really love music, and my wife noticed it and said you should be playing an instrument because you just really like music. So what instrument would you like to play? And I said, I would love to play the bagpipes. And she's like, really?
So your interest in the bagpipes, when did that start?
Probably as a little kid. You know, my parents were both 100% Irish, and we celebrated St. Patrick's Day and always saw the Shannon Rovers playing at parades downtown, and they actually played at all of our weddings. All my siblings' weddings, and just always, every time I saw the Shannon Rovers play, I was always just very impressed and moved.
Yeah. What was it like when you started playing the bagpipes? So it seems to me like a difficult instrument to play.
Yes. So the funny story is, I told right before I started playing and to hit the lessons lined up, I told everyone and my mother I was going to learn to play the bagpipes. And then I started playing them, and it was very hard, and I wanted to quit. And every time I was thinking about quitting, someone would run in to me and say, how are the bagpipes going? And I look at them going, they're going great. And so I just had to keep doing it just because I told too many people I was going to do it.
What is difficult about it? What's the technique that you have to have, and what do you have to practice in order to be able to play the pipes?
The music is really not hard. It's, if anyone's ever played the recorder growing up, the fingering is almost the exact same as a recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Except there's sharps and flats on a recorder, where on the bagpipes it's just all whole notes. But the hardest part is just figuring out the breathing of the bagpipes.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of wind, obviously, but the one thing to think about when you're playing the bagpipes is when you take a breath in, your lungs expands and your ribcage expands. So when you're playing the bagpipes, the hardest thing is not to fight against that movement and use it to help you breathe and play the pipes, which is, it takes a little bit of doing to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like to me. Whenever I see somebody playing the bagpipes, I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be some sort of breathing technique that has to be used. Did you have to learn control of your breath? Was it something that you had to practice?
Yeah, I mean, it literally takes probably about 2 years before you sound decent on the bagpipes. You know, from, if you've never had music before from start to finish, you know, the funny story is I was learning on Racine and Wrightwood in an apartment, and I'm sure driving the neighbors crazy.
No, I was just going to say, I'm sorry, but I live in an apartment building, and I think it would be kind of interesting if the person across the hallway from me was practicing bagpipes. I think that would be...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the lucky thing is I own the building, so my tenants really can't complain too much. But the funny thing is, I was in the spring, I was like doing some yard work out front, and this old guy walks by with a little dog, and he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, are you the bagpiper?" And I puffed up my chest and I said, "Well, yes, I am." And he's like, "You're getting better."
That's great. So you play the you finally mastered it. You said it takes like 2 years before you sound good.
Yeah.
When did the Shannon Rovers come into your life?
So it's funny. My wife got me lessons at the Irish American Heritage Center.
Sure.
And then we were with a kind of a strange group of guys learning, and then I switched over to another band. And they were more of a competition band, which there's lots of stuff to bagpipes, but my mom was always asking me, when are you going to get in the Shannon Rovers? So we kept asking to get in the Shannon Rovers. I actually played with my little brother, Sean.
Okay.
When I started learning, I made him do it with me. But the Shannon Rovers were going through a lot of stuff at the time. That, you know, they're leaving. Some people left and formed another band, so they weren't really taking new people. So we were with the Southside band for a while, the Dunery Pipe Band, where I actually learned, you know, to play from Terry McHugh, who's a great instructor. But one day he basically came to us and said, hey, the Shannon Rovers are looking for us to merge. They need some more pipers. Who would be interested in it? So we started playing with them, and then eventually my brother and I joined the Rovers, and that was back in, like, roughly 2000.
Wow, that's amazing. That must have been, you know, I mean, if they were a part of your life for all those years, and, you know, and the inspiration for you to take up the bagpipes when you were a kid was from seeing them, it must have been kind of a dream come true to be a part of then finally to join that band.
It really was, and it was one of the things where it's like when I was playing with them, you know, of course, everyone has their wedding video. I went back and looked at it, and people I was playing with at my first practice actually played my wedding. And I'm like, wow, that is so cool that they're here, and now I'm here in the circle playing with them.
That's amazing. That really is. That's a great story. So tell me now, you know, your younger brother, Sean, when you said, hey, you're going to play the bagpipes with me, did he have an interest in it as well? Was he fascinated by it as well when he was a kid?
He likes music a lot, too, but he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, yes, you are. It's going to be so fun when we do St. Patrick's Day and we're playing. He's like, I'm not doing it, you know, because, like, at the time we had to pay like $300 to take these lessons from these people because we had to buy these electric bagpipes. Mm. And he's like, I don't have the money. I'm not doing it. I'm like, I'll loan you the money. You can pay me back whenever you want. And basically, I put him in a headlock and said, you're doing it. and, you know, and the funny thing is, like, in 2004, the Shannon Rovers played the Dublin St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Oh, man.
And my mom at the time was so proud of us, was sick with cancer, and we brought the whole family over, her brother, and we had aunts and uncles from Georgia. We probably had a group of at least 30 people, just me and my brother that came. And normally in Ireland it rains a ton, but it was probably 75 degrees and sunny, and we're lined up ready to march, and I look over my brother, and I said, aren't you glad I made you do this? And he's like, all right, I'm glad you did.
That is awesome. That's so awesome. It's, you know, it's funny you say in Ireland it rains a ton, which is true. I've only been to Ireland once. It was the greatest trip I've ever gone on, the most beautiful place I've ever been. We were there for over 2 weeks, and it only rained once, which we found stunning. We went in May, and it only rained once, and it was over 2 weeks we were there, and it rained the day that we were in Belfast taking the Black Cab tour. It seemed strikingly appropriate because of the activity that we were doing that it would be raining.
Yeah, no, and I've never been up north, but the Shannon Rovers are planning a trip we're marching the 2020 St. Patrick's Day Parade. So if you're looking for another excuse to go.
Yeah, any excuse to go. It's such a beautiful place. I mean, it's just incredible, really incredible. Okay, so now you were talking about some of the, first of all, give us the history of the Irish, of the Shannon Rovers. I mean, because the history is rich and really great. Tell us about the band.
Yeah, so they've been around since 1926. They're formed by Tommy Ryan. They're still, like, his descendants in the band. Like, Saturday, I'm playing with Eddie Ryan, who is his brother's son, so it would be his great, he's his great uncle.
Right.
But it's, you know, it was formed by some guys that came over from near the Shannon River, and that's why they adopted the name Shannon Rovers. Mm-hmm. And it was originally started to help people out, you know, because it was 1926. It was, you know, right around the Depression and stuff. So their main purpose was to help play fundraisers. And it started off as a fife and bugle band, but then switched over to the bagpipes. And it basically was, you know, a fundraising organization to help people out in the Chicagoland area. And it kind of grew from there. And, you know, we actually wore a different kilt back when it first formed, and then we played a ton for Mayor Daly, the original Mayor Daly,
mm-hmm.
And basically for any time dignitaries came in town, and obviously John F. Kennedy was one of the biggest ones that we played for.
Yeah.
So when he passed away, we adopted the new Kennedy tartan just after him, and, you know, honored of him.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing is, too, when John F. Kennedy passed away, the Shannon Rovers played his funeral at the cemetery, which is very cool that we got to do.
Yeah.
But our big claim to fame, too, is we lead the Chicago parade. The Plumbers Local 130 is in charge of the parade, so they were always picked to run the parade by Mayor Daly when they first formed downtown.
Yeah.
So we lead. So every parade has been, we've led the parade, which is a very big and important deal to the Shannon Rovers.
Yeah.
And we've pretty much played for every president since we were formed. And, you know, a couple years ago, we were invited to play the White House for President Obama. It was a very important job that we played.
Yeah, that's really amazing. But it's such a rich history. It's such a rich history that this band has. Brian, hang on, okay? We got to take a break, but we'll come back and talk more, okay?
Sure.
Okay, we'll talk more with Brian Costello. He's a piper for the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band. They got a busy weekend. Let's just say that. When we come back, we'll run down all the places where you can hear the Shannon Rovers play on this St. Patrick's Day weekend. And we'll do that right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It is St. Patrick's Day weekend, so we're going to talk more St. Patrick's Day stories, and we're going to talk about the best Irish movies of all time, and then we'll get to our regular Friday features later on. You big dummy, straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, and we'll do some fly jams. Right now, though, speaking of St. Patrick's Day, we are talking with Brian Costello, who is a piper for the Shannon Rovers, the famous Irish pipe band. He's played with them for a long time, and actually played for Barack Obama. They've got a lot of stuff going on this weekend, and we want to make sure Brian tells everybody about it. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Before we get back to the schedule that's happening for the Rovers this weekend, because it is obviously the busiest time of year for you guys, I would imagine. You mentioned electric bagpipe, that you had to buy an electric bagpipe. What's the difference between an electric bagpipe and a manual?
Basically, it's just kind of like a MIDI instrument, if you know what that is. Mm-hmm. It looks like the chanter, which is basically what you play the notes from. But it was tied to like a little computer that made sounds similar to the bagpipes. So,
oh, I see.
Most people, you know, the person who was teaching us, he kind of invented those things, so that's why we had to pay for them. But most people learn the bagpipes on a practice chanter, it's called, which, like I said before, is very similar to a recorder, which most people know what a recorder is.
Right. So, okay, well, that's interesting. I just wanted to get now besides playing for Barack Obama, I understand that you also played at the burial of Maureen O'Hara.
Yes. So I was not in the group that played for Barack Obama.
Oh, okay.
I was back here, it was during St. Patrick's Day season, so I was back here covering a ton of jobs for the people who got to do it.
Right.
But several years back, we were invited to play at John Wayne Museum out in Winterset, Iowa. Brian Downs, who's a Chicago boy, runs that, and he invited us out there, and they're honoring Maureen O'Hara.
Yeah.
She was about 92 at the time, and she was living with her grandson. They're out in Utah. We all met in Winterset, Iowa, for a big fundraiser for them to build a museum. The museum wasn't built yet. One of my idols growing up was Maureen O'Hara.
Oh,
so,
yeah, sure.
My wife, who taught me to play the bagpipes, is a beautiful redhead, and I grew up watching Channel 9, and they'd always play The Quiet Man.
Yep.
And watching Maureen O'Hara, I'm like, wow, So it was one of those things where we got to meet her, we got to take a picture with her, and we got to play for her. Catherine O'Connell was out there with us, who's a local Chicago singer.
Yeah.
So it was really great. We got, and then afterwards we got to, she went back to the hotel after the event, but we hung around with her grandson and his family at the local Irish pub and got to be friends. So, a couple years later, when she passed away, her grandson reached out to Brian Downs and said, can you get those guys that played for for Maureen to play her funeral?
Yeah.
And she was married to a second star general, Air Force general. So it took place at Arlington Cemetery. So the Shannon Rovers formed a big trip and we all went out there. There's probably 45 of us that went there,
mm-hmm.
but I got to play this. I was a solo piper at her which was a very big deal for me.
Wow, that's incredible. That's really incredible. Yeah. It's so great that you got to meet her, though. You know what I mean? That's amazing.
I mean, I'm sure you get to meet a lot of legends with what you do, but when you get to meet one, it's just, you know, it just really blows your mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I know exactly what you mean, and Maureen O'Hara certainly was a legend. No question about it. So you mentioned it. Now, how many guys are actually part of the Rovers? Because, you know, there are so many events happening this weekend, and clearly there must be a lot of people in the band.
Yes. So we probably are going to have at least 75 people out on the street this weekend. On Saturday, we're going to have six groups playing with a couple solo pipers out on different jobs. But in each group, you're probably looking at 15 to 20 people that are going to be in that group, including Color Guard. So it's definitely a busy weekend. You know, we're geared up for it. We're looking forward to it. And, you know, can't wait for it to... It basically is our, you know, our St. Patrick's Day... My wife jokes it starts the third week in January when the plumbers do a kickoff corned beef and cabbage dinner. So that's really when it starts, and it just gets busier and busier. Like every weekend, we're out playing parish parties, you know, corned beef cabbage parties, sure, and all sorts of stuff.
Sure. You did some stuff last night, Thursday night. You guys were at there was a family mass at St. Juliana and at Emmett's Pub, and then.
Yes.
Tonight?
I was in the group that led Emmett's Pub tonight.
Oh, you did? How'd that go?
It went great. We, you know, blew the roof off the place.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And then and this week, too, we played the Hawks game they did at St. Patrick's Day game where they gave out green fedoras. We played that on Monday night. But we also played the Bulls night on Tuesday night, which wasn't in that group, but everyone was very happy. They were on the floor with LeBron James.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty. Yeah. By the way, the night that you guys played for the Hawks, that was a big night for the Hawks. That was a great.
Oh my gosh,
that was
yeah.
a great game.
Yeah.
So
a lot of fun.
So and then you know you're busy tonight. Dugan's in Greektown, Emmett's, Kitty O'Shea's, Lizzie McNeil's, Fox's in Mokena and in Beverly and in Oak Lawn, Palmer's in LaGrange. All of those places keep us. Now personally, where will you be this weekend? What places are you playing?
Yeah, so like tomorrow, my first job is at noon, and then I basically go until 10 o'clock. So I'm playing, there's a big Patty's Day lunch at the Hilton's, Kitty O'Shea's. We're playing another lunch for the CPAs at 550 West Jackson. Kitty O'Shea's, Lizzie McNeil's. The thing that I'm getting pulled to play tomorrow that I'm so excited for, Gaelic Storm is playing at the House of Blues.
Oh, wow.
So they've invited us, a smaller group, to play with them on stage.
That's really cool. That is really cool.
So I've gotten to play at the House of Blues down in the lower level, but I've never got to play on the main stage. So very excited about that.
That's really great. Really, really great. Now, you guys will be on the, are you going to be on the South Side on Sunday?
Here, let me flip to my Sunday schedule. So this is probably the first Southside parade that I'm missing.
Okay.
But I am playing a mass at Old St. Pat's, and then I'm playing Kitty O'Shea's twice, Timothy O'Toole's, Gibson's, Hugo's, Lux Bar, and Emmett's on a Sunday.
Okay.
So I start at noon and end at 10.
You must just love doing this for, and I know it's a long day for you, but you really just must love doing it, right?
I mean, it's you know, my wife jokes, oh, you're the rock star, but it's one of those things where we travel around, not like rock stars, but in yellow school buses. So, and then, you know, we have a boombox on the back, you know, playing fun Irish music, but we basically pull in front of these bars, like Saturday, you know, we'll pull in front of Timothy O'Toole's, there'll be a massive line, we will walk in there, and the whole place will go up for grabs.
Yeah.
I mean, people will be screaming for us, and, you know, we'll be taking pictures, and then we're like, we got to go, get back on the bus, and then we pull up to this place, you know, and the same thing happens.
Yeah, that
sounds
great.
So it's very funny, very funny.
And the downtown parade for Saturday, and that's at noon, correct? And,
correct.
Yeah. How many of the parades have you done?
This is probably my 20th.
Wow. Have you had? I mean, it's going to be a little. It's going to be a little chilly on Saturday. When you wear anything under the kilt?
Never. It's not allowed. But it's probably not going to. We do the Chinese New Year parade every year.
Oh, wow.
Which is a very fun parade.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, it's been like a blizzard marching in it. So it won't be as cold as that. I heard there may be a little snow in the forecast, but, you know, the outfits that we wear, we dress in these full green outfits for this, which are more like military outfits. We wear a tunic, which is very, you know, I have one of the older tunics. It's probably from the 50s, but it's made of wool. Mm-hmm. So it's very warm. And then we also kind of wrap ourselves in the tartan, which is a blade, they call it, plaid. And it's you basically use it as a coat type thing. But with any pictures that people see on the websites from the actual parade, they'll see what I'm talking about. So the uniform itself is very warm. And it's the nice thing about the downtown parade is not a very long parade.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. Hey, by the way,
the hardest part is waiting for it to start.
What, now, let me ask you a question: are you in The Fugitive?
We are not in The Fugitive.
Okay.
The funny thing is, we played the golf show a couple weeks ago, and the person said that they were in The Fugitive, and of course, I'm like, I'm leading the group, but I'm like, oh, I'm not going to argue with the guy.
I'm sorry. I know that's a random question, but I was just curious as to whether or not you're in The Fugitive, because I know that they did.
I would have loved to have been in The Fugitive, but the Channel Rovers are not. But people think that we are.
Okay, well, that's good.
People think of the bagpipe band in Chicago, they think of the Channel Rovers.
Right. That's great. Okay.
Or they should.
Well, listen, I want you to have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Now, are you going to get to like relax and celebrate a little bit at all this weekend?
It's a lot of fun, so I will have a great time, but I will be tired come Monday and probably have not much of a voice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, listen, it's great, and if people want to tell everybody about the website where they can check out your schedule, because there's a complete schedule of where all the guys are going to be all weekend long, and what's the website?
Yeah, so check out? It's ShannonRovers.com, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. ShannonRovers.com, and you can look. I'm looking at the schedule right now. Lots of stuff happening this weekend, especially on Saturday. Lots of appearances on Saturday from the morning on. It's going to be a busy weekend. Brian, rest up and have a great St. Patrick's Day, okay, sir?
All right. You guys have a great St. Patrick's Day as well.
Okay,
thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Take care.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Right. Brian Costello, everybody, who's a piper for the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band, and they're going to be busy, busy, busy this weekend, St. Patrick's Day. Check out their schedule. It's crazy. ShannonRovers.com, and that's where you can see the great pipe band, the Shannon Rovers. ShannonRovers.com. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day weekend, busy time for these guys, and we were happy to have Brian on. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning, and that means all of our regular Friday features will be coming up, and that includes You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday, as we do every Friday morning. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich follows at 5 o'clock with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and if you would like to join us. We'll be talking about some St. Patrick's Day stuff here. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody, and we're also going to jump into the topic of the best Irish movies of all time. So think about some of your favorite great Irish movies, and we'll jump into that topic in a little bit. But we have some fantastic facts about St. Patrick's Day. It says, before you don your Kiss Me, I'm Irish tea and set out to find a perfect pour of Guinness, read up on some history of the day that we all claim to, that even one day a year that we claim that we are Irish. Now, I am half Irish. Do you have any, Vic, do you have any Irish blood in you?
No, I do not. Nope. Just did a DNA test, too, so I can confirm that.
Oh, well, did you do the thing online?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an app, it's a phone app, right. But Ancestry is who I went with. There's several out there.
Right. Well, what did you find out?
It's a while ago, you know, and they've actually updated it since, because they update the DNA database as more people do it, because they have a bigger pool to, you know, figure it all out.
Yeah.
That's the scientific phrase for it. So, but, yeah, 50% from Great Britain, Scotland, and something else, I can't remember, 50%, and that's a broad range, but then it breaks it down further. 30% Native American. That was a shock to me.
Is that right?
That was a shocker. And then it breaks down into really minuscule percentages after that point.
Yeah,
but it's really interesting.
Yeah, I've never done that, but I would like to, because I know, I mean, I know that I'm Italian and Irish.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there's more of a breakdown in
there. Sure. Yeah. It's fun.
Ben, are you at all Irish?
That I am.
Are you full Irish?
No, not full, but about a quarter.
Okay,
is my understanding.
What are your other heritages?
Scottish. Mm-hmm. I'm all the great non-pigments.
I see.
Yeah. But German, English, and Swedish.
Okay,
those are the big ones.
Wow, that's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, like they say, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. See, I'm half Irish all year long. That's just it. But so. But here's some facts, though, that you might not know about St. Patrick's Day. We'll all learn. We should really be wearing blue on St. Patrick's Day. Did you know that, Vic? I didn't know that.
Come on now. You look like an idiot if you're all in blue on St. Patrick. Why?
St. Patrick himself. St. Patrick himself would have to deal with pinching on his feast day. Though we've come to associate Kelly Green with the Irish in the holiday, the 5th century saint's official color was St. Patrick's blue, which was a light shade of sky blue. The color green only became associated with the big day after it was linked to the Irish independence movement in the late 18th century. So it started out as blue. That was St. Patrick's, that was his color. Here's another one. How about this one, Vic? You ready for this?
Do it.
St. Patrick wasn't Irish.
Oh. Okay, go on.
We're ruining the holiday for everybody right now with these facts. This is, by the way, this is from Mental Floss, which is one of my favorite websites, and they have all these really fun sort of articles and lists and facts about things, and now they're going to ruin St. Patrick's Day for us. St. Patrick wasn't Irish, although he made his mark by introducing Christianity to Ireland in the year 432. Patrick himself wasn't Irish. He was born to Roman parents in Scotland or Wales in the late 4th century.
Scotland.
Yeah. How about that? Or Wales, one of the two. St. Patrick's Day used to be a dry holiday. Oh, pff, yeah.
What happened there?
That really changed. Here's what it says. As you might expect, St. Patrick's Day is a huge deal in his old stomping grounds. It's a national holiday in both Ireland and Northern Ireland. But up until the 1970s, pubs were closed that day. Into the 1970s. Wow. The one exception went to beer vendors at the big national dog show, which was always held on St. Patrick's Day. Okay, so here's the deal. How many people up until the 1970s went just like, let's go to the dog show right now?
Right.
Like we're gonna celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the dog show.
They were losing body count, so they decided to serve alcohol.
It was sold out. The dog show was sold out every year. Oversold, standing room only for the dog show, because it was the only place you can get a beer on St. Patrick's Day. Before that time, the saint's feast day was considered a more solemn, strictly religious occasion. Now the country welcomes hordes of green-clad tourists for parades, drinks, and perhaps the reciting of a few limericks, so that didn't last very long. Here's another fact about St. Patrick's Day. New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade has been happening since 1762. Wow. New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade is one of the world's largest parades. Since 1762, roughly 250,000 marchers have traipsed up Fifth Avenue on foot. The parade still doesn't allow floats, cars, or other modern trappings. Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, and a Miracle on 34th Street actress, Maureen O'Hara, have served as Grand Marshal. Now, why would they say Miracle on 34th Street and not the Quiet Man? Why would they go to Miracle on 34th Street and not the Quiet Man? Quiet Man, one of the most quintessentially Irish movies of all time. So I didn't know that there were no floats or anything. No cars, no floats, just people walking down the street. All right. We all know about this one. I just gave you all the facts here, but mental floss also includes the fact that Chicago literally runs green for St. Patrick's Day. Just talked about that and talked about how they do it. New York may have more manpower, but Chicago has all this a spectacle all its own. The city's been celebrating St. Patrick's Day by dumping green dye into the Chicago River since 1962. And though the organizers won't reveal their exact formula, we do know that the orange powder used is dispersed through four flour sifters by the local plumbers union. We got all the details on that a little bit earlier on in the show, and we'll get to see it at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Okay, if you guys want to jump in, talk about St. Patrick's Day, 312-981-7200. What are your plans? Do you have any plans for the weekend? If you're Irish, what do you plan on doing? If you're not Irish, how do you plan on celebrating St. Patrick's Day this weekend? 312-981-7200. All right, more fun facts here on 720 WGN right after we break here on the show. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on Wacker, here 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. Yeah, it's Friday. That means Fly Jams will be happening a little bit later on. And we've got all of our regular Friday features coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. And in a little while, we're going to be talking about the best Irish movies of all time as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend. I've got some fun facts here from Mental Floss about St. Patrick's Day, and we've been talking a little bit about that. And if you want to jump in here with your thoughts on St. Patrick's Day, what you're going to do this weekend, give us a call at 312-981-7200. Now, here is you can talk and text us as well, 312-981-7200. Here is Beulah on WGN. Hi, Beulah.
Hi. I was just going to tell you, my grandfather was born in Northern Ireland near Belfast, and he was always called himself an orangeman because he lived with us, and on St. Patrick's Day when we were little, he'd say, "You don't wear green, you wear orange." So anyway, I was just going to tell you that orangemen are, he said that they were considered the Protestants and the green ones were the Catholics.
Ah, yes. Yes. So, yeah, well, I mean, the history of that is, you know, obviously big in Ireland between the Catholics and the Protestants.
Yes.
It's, the troubles and everything that has been a part of that for so many years. It's interesting. It's interesting to go back. I've been to Ireland, and it's interesting to go back because when you go to Belfast, I've been to Belfast, and when you go to Belfast, there's still a giant wall up, and it's so it's really sort of sad, you know, when you go through the city and you see the murals all over the walls, and when you see the actual wall that's put up in the middle of the city, it's pretty stunning.
Yeah, my cousin and I went over there, and we just didn't have time to check on a lot of our history, but we had a tour of that part of Belfast, and it really is not as bad as they report sometimes.
Well, it was, Beulah. I mean, the history of that is just, you know, horrendous. And to take the black cab tour and go through the city and see all the murals that are up on the wall. It's really kind of overwhelming when you're
yeah, because I did see them. So
yeah. Okay, Beulah.
Anyway,
thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. 312-981-7200. Here's Len on WGN. Hi, Len.
Len? Glenn.
Glenn?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
No, I said you mentioned that they only serve beer at a dog show there in Ireland, and I was just wondering if that's where the phrase "hair the dog" came from.
Wow, that's a good... I don't know. I don't know, but that the it's... Well, it's the actual, I mean, we know where the actual phrase really does come from, though, right? But that, I mean, it's yeah. So it's the hair of the dog that bit you.
It's a bad joke. But
yeah. Okay.
Hell.
All right, Glenn. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Glenn found it really amusing. The expression "the hair of the dog" for an alcoholic drink taken as a cure for a hangover is the shortening of a hair of the dog that bit you. It comes from an old belief that someone bitten by a rabid dog could be cured of rabies by taking a potion containing some of that dog's hair. So that's where that comes from. Yeah. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. But that's a pretty funny joke, Glenn, because it was the dog shows. You could only drink beer at the dog shows up until the 70s. Which I just find so amazing that it was I mean that it went all the way to the 70s, that it was a dry holiday into the 70s over in Ireland. Let's see. Here are some other little facts here. For some St. Patrick's Day parades, it's the thought that counts. Not every city goes all out in its celebratory efforts. From 1999 to 2007, the Irish village of Dripsy proudly touted that it hosted the shortest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world. the route ran 26 yards between two pubs. Today, Hot Springs, Arkansas claims the title for brevity. Its brief parade runs about 98 feet. All right. Get the parade out of the way because they got to do some drinking. The parade's keeping us. Don't do a really long parade. Don't lengthen this. Don't take all morning on this because we got to get to the pub. And here's another little fact. There's a reason for the shamrocks. How did the shamrock become associated with St. Patrick? According to Irish legend, the saint used the three-leafed plant, which is not to be confused with a four-leaf clover, as a metaphor for the Holy Trinity when he was first introducing Christianity to Ireland. I actually did know that one. It's something I knew. That's which is a very rare thing when you find something that I know. How about this one? Cold weather helped St. Patrick's claim to fame. And in Irish lore, St. Patrick gets credit for driving all the snakes out of Ireland. Modern scientists suggest that the job might not have been too hard. According to the fossil record, Ireland has never been home to any snakes. Through the Ice Age, Ireland was too cold to host any reptiles, and the surrounding seas have staved off serpentine invaders ever since. And modern scholars seem to think the snakes St. Patrick drove away were likely just metaphorical. That's another thing. I love that legend. I love that that's what he's really known for, is driving the snakes out of Ireland. how about this? There's no corn in that beef. No, there isn't. Corned beef and cabbage, which has become a traditional St. Patrick's Day staple for Irish Americans, doesn't have anything to do with the grain corn. Instead, it's a nod to the large grains of salt that were historically used to cure meats, and they were also known as corns. Yeah, my ex-wife and I did our own corned beef for like two St. Patrick's Days in a row, and it actually turned out great. It turned out really, really, really great. And you can get the prepackaged stuff, too. Like if you go get the beef, and then it comes with a pre-mixed package full of the spices and the salt and the stuff that you're supposed to use in order to corn it. But I'll tell you something. When you actually make it at home and sort of control it, it's really delicious. I mean, when we made a big bunch of it too. We made a big batch of it. We had people over, and we were eating corned beef sandwiches for days afterwards. But it was really great to make at home. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sure that people are doing that this weekend. So, is there do people recommend any restaurants to go get some good corned beef. I do have an article from the Chicago Tribune here that recommends the best places to get corned beef. And not just, but they're talking corned beef sandwiches as well, which is what they're really focusing on in this article. But is there a place where people go to get corned beef and cabbage? Is there a favorite place? I know that one of my favorite Irish pubs that I used to frequent, that I used to go to a lot, is Chief O'Neill's on Elston, which was located right across the street from where my old theater company, well, they're still around, but my theater company that I used to be with, the Factory Theater. We were working out of the prop theater, that space, on Elston, and it was pretty much right across the street from Chief O'Neill's. So we were at Chief O'Neill's a lot. And they've got great food, great traditional Irish food at Chief O'Neill's. That's a great, by the way, a great Irish pub. If you're thinking about going to an Irish pub to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, Chief O'Neill's is near the top of some of the best Irish pubs. It's one of the best Irish pubs in this city. By far. And the kitchen is fantastic. They serve great, beautiful, traditional Irish food. And on a few St. Patrick's days that I spent at Chief O'Neill's, I had the corned beef and cabbage several times, and it's outstanding. So if you're looking for a place to get corned beef and cabbage, I highly, highly recommend Chief O'Neill's. And just to go to Chief O'Neill's for a celebration of St. Patrick's Day is a lot of fun. So, but if you guys have any suggestions to get corned beef and cabbage, not necessarily a corned beef sandwich, because for me, if someone says, where do I get the best corned beef sandwich, you go to Manny's Cafeteria, which is the best deli in the city. And the corned beef there is unbelievable. And everything there is unbelievable, actually, Manny's, in the South Loop. So go there to check that out. But anyway, if you guys have a suggestion for corned beef and cabbage, where to get it, give us some suggestions. And we've got some more facts about St. Patrick's Day coming up. And then a little bit later on, we're going to talk about the best Irish movies ever made. So keep that in mind, and you can call us or text us. Call us or text us with your thoughts on St. Patrick's Day or where you can get some great corned beef and cabbage as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text.
How come you've never said you
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on 720 WGN, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning. All the Friday regular features are coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and we will play some funky music to close out the show with Fly Jams Friday. In a little bit, we're also going to be talking about the best Irish movies of all time as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend here on the show. So get your thoughts together on your favorite Irish movies. What are the best Irish movies of all time? We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We've got some more facts about St. Patrick's Day to share. And if you want to jump in, I threw out the also that where's a great place if you want to go out and get some corned beef and cabbage this weekend. If you guys have any suggestions, you can call us or you can text us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And I, of course, suggested Chief O'Neill's, which is one of the best Irish pubs in the city, and they have a great menu, and they serve really good traditional Irish food, and right around this time of year, they have fantastic corned beef and cabbage. And I know a lot of restaurants put it on the menu, at this time of year, too. And I know that George, our good friend George Karzis, who runs the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn, they have corned beef and cabbage available at this time, too. And it's very good. I've had their corned beef and cabbage at the Gale Street Inn, and it's outstanding. So that's another great place to go. That's a great place to go in general because it's the greatest restaurant on the planet. Everybody knows how great the ribs are. But all the food is great there, and the people, the staff, everything. I've been friends with George for a long time, and it's my favorite restaurant, the greatest restaurant in the world. Check out GaleStreet.com. Okay. All right, how about this? A little more facts about St. Patrick's Day. Americans run up quite a bar tab on St. Patrick's Day. Well, we just, in a couple of reports ago that Vic did, he ran down some of the numbers of how much money is spent on St. Patrick's Day in certain cities, and Chicago led that list about how much money they spend on St. Patrick's Day. All of the St. Patrick's Day revelry is great news for brewers. A 2012 estimate pegged that the total amount Americans spent on beer for St. Patty celebrations is $245 million. Oh, my God. So Americans spend $245 million on St. Paddy's Day celebrations, and that's before you tip your bartender. Not only that, but Americans headed to Ireland were estimated to spend $955 million on flights, accommodations, and other tourism industry staples. So people are spending a lot of money on St. Patrick's Day, which is not surprising. $245 million that Americans spend. It could have been St. Maywin's Day. According to Irish legend, St. Patrick wasn't originally called Patrick. His birth name was Maywin Sukat, but he changed it to Patricius after becoming a priest. How about this little fact? There are no female leprechauns. Don't be fooled by any holiday decorations showing lady leprechauns. In traditional Irish folk tales, there are no female leprechauns, only nattily attired little guys who spend their days making and mending shoes, meaning that they earn that gold that they're always guarding. All right, and then finally, St. Patrick's Day lingo makes sense. You can't attend a St. Patrick's Day event without hearing a cry of Éireann go bragh. What's the phrase mean? It's a corruption of the Irish Éireann go bragh, which roughly means Ireland forever. So there you go. There's some facts about St. Patrick's Day for you. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I do have some where you can get some good corned beef sandwiches in the city. Chicago Tribune put together a list. Louisa Chu, who is a reporter with the Trib, put this little intro together. And it's says, Chicago's a corned beef town. Unlike New York, Los Angeles, or Montreal, where they prefer pastrami, we like our brined and braised beef served steaming hot, sliced thin, and piled high on rye sandwiches, or cut thick with cabbage. But it's more than just the meat, as I discovered in my year-long corned beef conquest, tasting the convergence of our Jewish, Irish, and African-American communities' cultures. I visited 31 restaurants in and around the city, all deserving a mention. Every single one has loyal, sometimes lifelong fans, so basing my list on one or two visits was a tough call. Do note that the Milt's Extra Innings just announced it will close permanently on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day at 5 p.m. So you're going to have to get there. If you want to get the sandwich from Milt's Extra Innings, you're going to have to get there before Sunday at 5. Well, here's what we've got here. City Mouse at 311 North Morgan Street comes in at number 17 with the corned Wagyu beef sandwich. And next is number 5 Wall Street at Schmaltz Delicatessen. Schmaltz Delicatessen is in Naperville. I've never been there. Has anybody ever been to Schmaltz Delicatessen? Warm Schmaltz famous corned beef with mustard on seeded rye bread, winner of the 2019 Reader's Choice Dining Award for Best Sandwiches. The Jewish-style deli named for golden chicken fat is not afraid to keep the fat on without even asking, which is a good thing. A simple, solid sandwich served with pickles and a side of endearingly irregular house-made bagel chips. And it's $12.49 for the number 5 Wall Street at Schmaltz Deli. Moon's famous corned beef sandwich at Moon's Sandwich Shop, which is at 16 Southwestern. Corned beef with mustard, lettuce, tomato, pickle on rye bread. Don't let the lettuce and tomato throw you. This remains faithfully old school as the shop. So there you go. It's a little weird to see lettuce and tomato on a corned beef sandwich. I'm looking at the picture of it. It just seems a little strange to me. I don't know. Corned beef bagel sandwich at New York Bagel, which is on Toohey in Lincolnwood. I've never been there either. Vienna corned beef with mustard on a house-made rye bagel. It's $7.19. That's a good price.
That's a great price.
Yeah. And, of course, we get the corned beef sandwich at Chief O'Neill's Pub, which I've mentioned. That comes in at number 13, $14. House-made corned beef on marble rye bread. Not only does this fine Irish public house make a lovely sandwich piled high, it can do it Reuben style with for a dollar more during the legendary weekend brunch. $22 for adults, $14 for kids, 12 and under. You can try the corned beef hash. And plus, when weather permits, a picnic in the backyard and imagine you're far away from Avondale on the Emerald Isle. By the way, the brunch at Chief O'Neill's is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. $22 for the brunch, and they do it really well. So the corned beef sandwich comes in pretty high there on from Chief O'Neill's. I love this place. Corned beef sandwich at 11 City Diner. It is such a great restaurant. 11 City Diner. It's at 1112 South Wabash and 11th. Actually, not very far from Manny's. But this place is so great. It is really, really great. 11 City Diner. If you've never been there. You get corned beef on seeded rye with optional Swiss cheese, which is a dollar plus. $15.29 for this thing, by the way. Plus coleslaw, pickles, and fries. Brad Reuben opened his Jewish-style deli meets reimagined American diner in 2006 as a pioneer in the South Loop neighborhood. Each slice of corned beef is laced with lean and fat. Every element shows very careful consideration. But you must get the matzo ball soup, where each wonderful orb comes crowned with a perfect carrot cube. Have you ever been to this place, Ben? Have you ever been to 11 City Diner?
I have not, but it sounds fantastic.
It's 1112 South Wabash. It's at 11th and Wabash, right by Columbia College. Like, right, yeah. I mean, Columbia College students eat there all the time. It's the best matzo ball soup, maybe the best matzo ball soup I've ever had in my life.
Oh wow!
At 11 City Diner, I've had corned beef sandwich there too. The place is fantastic, but it is without question the best matzo ball soup I've ever had. It's really, really good. All right, how about this? Number 11 comes in at the corned beef sandwich at the Onion Roll Restaurant in Delhi, which is in Oak Park, 6935 West North Avenue in Oak Park. By the way, if anybody's been to these places, we would love to hear from you. Or if you want to recommend some places where you can get some good corned beef and cabbage, 312-981-7200. Hot Eisenberg corned beef on rye with a pickle is what you get here at the Onion Roll Restaurant in Delhi when you walk through this Jewish-style deli open for over 50 years. How have I not gone there if it's been there for 50 years in Oak Park? I used to live very close to Oak Park, and we've been to several places in Oak Park. I can't believe I've never been there. No one seems to remember exactly when it opened anymore, but it's been around for over 50 years. The wood paneling dining room sets the stage for your elemental sandwich. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing fancy, but it's all you need. Plus, the matzo ball soup is good, too. So that's the onion. It's only $7.85, $7.85 for the sandwich.
Man.
That's a good price.
Wow.
Hot corned beef sandwich at Maury's Deli. Maury's Deli, which is 5500 South Cornell. Hot corned beef with mustard on rye bread and a pickle. While television financial advisor Susie Orman is the daughter of Maury Orman, he opened... Wow, wow, that's interesting. He opened this Jewish-style deli way back in 1960. Now it's a hub of the African-American community in Hyde Park. Your first sight of the pink ribbons of meat sliced thin may surprise you in the unassuming storefront setting. That sounds good. The picture, by the way, there are pictures that are accompanying all of these in the article that we're talking about here if you want to check it out. We got a corned beef sandwich at JB's Deli. That comes in at number 9. $11.95 corned beef with mustard on rye. One of the oddest settings, Jeff Bendix decided to help save deli culture by opening a Jewish-style deli inside his pharmacy in Andersonville. Not only has it worked out for 20 years now, but the radiant sandwiches made with the off-the-shelf ingredients set a high memorable bar, even without drugs, prescription, or not. 5501 North Clark. Okay, so it's been there for 20 years. I lived in Andersonville for 14 years. How the hell did I never go... How did I not go to this? JB's Deli... In the pharmacy. How did I know 5501 North Clark? I hung out on North Clark Street. You know, I drank at Simon's every night. How did I never go to JB's Deli? Wow. Okay, we're up to number 8. We'll take a break here. Again, if you want to jump in here, we are talking about great corned beef sandwiches here in the city. And if you have any suggestions, if you've been to some of these places that we've talked about in and around the city, and where can you get some great corned beef and cabbage also. So let's take a break. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about this. We'll celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And after the 3 o'clock news, we're going to start talking about the best Irish movies of all time. So get your lists ready. And that'll be coming up soon.
I'll tell me, Ma, when I'm going home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pulled my hair, they stole my comb, but that's all right till I go home. She's handsome, she is pretty, she's the belle of Belfast City. She is caught in a 1, 2, 3, please will you tell me who is she?
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, we are going to be doing all the regular Friday features coming up. But it's St. Patrick's Day weekend here, and so we're doing a little celebrating of St. Patrick's Day. We're talking about some great corned beef, where you can get a great corned beef sandwich, according to the Chicago Tribune, and wondering if you guys have places where you can go that you recommend to get corned beef and cabbage for this fabulous weekend of St. Patrick's Day. And after the news, we're going to jump into the topic of the best Irish movies of all time. So we'd love to hear from you on that. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. If you want to jump in, if you've been to any of these places and had some of the corned beef sandwiches, or if you have a recommendation for a place, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we put the Chicago Tribune, a writer of the Chicago Tribune, put together a list of the 17 best corned beef sandwiches in and around the city. And number 8 is the one that I recommend as number 1, and that's the corned beef sandwich at Manny's Cafeteria and Delicatessen, which is at 1141 South Jefferson. It's the best deli, without question. It's the best deli in the city, it's an old school. It's cafeteria style, which means you go in and you get a tray, and you go down the line with the tray, just like a cafeteria. And you go to each station and you get your sandwich. They cut it fresh for you right in front of you. They make it. You get your sides. You get your soup. You get your drinks. All that stuff as you push the tray, cafeteria style, down the line. You pay at the end of the line, and then you grab a table and you eat. And the food at Manny's Cafeteria and Deli is just it's unbelievable. It is such a fantastic deli. Now, Ben, we talked about when you went to New York, you went to Katz's.
Oh yeah,
which is the best, as far as I'm concerned, the best deli in New York City. Manny's is very, very much like Katz's. And because Katz's is old school, you go in, you get a number and all that stuff. Yeah. It's cafeteria style as well. And it very much, Manny's has been around for a lot of years, and it's the quality of the food is very similar to Katz's. So
that's good to know.
One of the great things about Katz's deli in New York is everything is hand cut. They don't use the metal, you know, the cutters, meat cutters. Everything is hand cut. The guys cut it by hand, right in front of you.
Yep.
The corned beef sandwich at Manny's Cafeteria and Delicatessen, house recipe corned beef on rye bread with mustard, horseradish, and horseradish mustard on the side plus a pickle and a potato pancake. Potato pancakes are unbelievable. Winner of our 2019 Reader's Choice Dining Award for Best Old School Restaurant, Manny's is the best deli experience in Chicago. Absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. Especially if Gino Gambarada is making your sandwich. He's made plenty sandwiches for me. If he's making your sandwich, which he's been doing for over 36 years at the city as the city's most engaging sandwich maker or social worker, as he likes to say. Fourth generation owner and operator Dan Raskin is the young man behind the thoughtful restoration and expansion of the cafeteria-style restaurant a few years ago, which will serve for many generations to come. And his advice says, order it fatty if you can. 1141 South Jefferson. And they did do a beautiful expansion. It's been there for a really, really long time. But it's, everything about that place is great. Everything.
I need to check it out. No, until this weekend, I was really tempted to you know, have cats as flown in.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just the best deli. I mean, there are a lot of delis in New York. Yeah. I mean, there's a deli every 15 feet. And a lot of great delis in New York where you can get a lot of great sandwiches. But to me, Katz's is just, it's by far, I mean, it's just the pinnacle. It's funny that I spent 3 weeks in New York back in 1999, summer of 1999. We took a play out there, and we did it at the Fringe Festival. So we were there for 3 weeks. And where we were staying was like right around the corner from Katz's. So that was really dangerous. I was there for 3 weeks. I think I went to Katz's like every day except for 2 days. That we were there.
Oh, that's just
like right around the corner.
That sounds like the perfect vacation right there.
Yeah. Ugh. It was crazy. The New Jersey Bypass Sandwich at Kaufman's Bagel and Delicatessen. This is at 4905 West Dempster in Skokie. I've been there. I've been to Kaufman's, and it's pretty great. I've never had the corned beef though. It's the corned beef and pastrami double decker on rye. It says $13.75. That's a lot. That you get a lot for $13.75. I'm looking at the sandwich right now. It's a double decker. That's a lot of meat. That's a lot of pastrami and a lot of corned beef. It's the only place around town where you can clearly order your choice of meat fattiness from regular, deckle, lean, and super trim. Luckily, priced lowest when fattiest and most flavorful. Mother and daughter co-owners Judy and Beth Dworkin, seem to oversee every silken slice in the store. And they call it the New Jersey Bypass Double Decker. the house-cooked corned beef sandwich at Chi-Town Sandwich Club. Chi-Town Sandwich Club at 2921 North Clark. Corned beef with mustard and Swiss cheese on marble rye bread. Not only does the owner cook, he makes the sandwich himself, but he'll tell you his life story behind the corned beef. The result is surprising, stupendous, thickly sliced, and it's a supple stack. Corned beef sandwich at Vienna Beef Factory Store and Cafe, 2501 North Damon. I've had the sausage, I've had the beef, the Italian beef there. Wow, I've never had a corned beef sandwich there. Vienna Beef, that place is great. The original corned beef sandwich at AP Deli on 75th Street, $10, corned beef with mustard on rye bread. The recipe dates back to 1984. Number three, the corned beef sandwiches at Harrington's Catering and Deli on Milwaukee Avenue. Number two, Uncle Rube's sandwich at Steingold's at 1840 West Irving Park. I've been there. The place is great. And the number one is the Reuben sandwich at the Baufhaus, which is at 1012 Northwestern Avenue. So there you go. We got some text here. Wrap it up with this. I'm part Irish, but I will be spending Saturday night Ubering the celebrants of Chicagoland. It'll be big money that night. Mark the bread man. Prepare for many drunk patrons, Mark, in your car. Bonnie from Kenosha says, I make a great sauce that makes my Reuben so good. I can't wait. We'll drink a Guinness while making it. 2224 area code says, great corned beef and cabbage at McGunnickel's Pub in Barrington.
That is a great place for corned beef and cabbage.
Is
in
it?
The suburbs. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, right. Man.
312 area code says, quick note on JB's Deli. I live in Andersonville, and the deli is located inside the Gordon's Pharmacy. However, I don't think the deli was in operation for the last 15 years. It's been closer to the last 7. Oh, I moved out from then there. Bobby D. Is it Robert Duvall? He says, Nick, used to live across the street from Maury's CB, and it's great, as so is the chicken noodle soup. Met Susie once there when Nightline was doing a piece on her. We'll try to bring one to the next film club. Oh, all right. By the way, the next film club is April 9th, and it's The Man Who Knew Too Much, Alfred Hitchcock with Jimmy Stewart. And then finally, what's the difference between corned beef and pastrami? Pastrami has more spices. And it is brined longer, it's like the brining process is different than corned beef. It goes through more, and it adds. There's a lot more to it. The crust is completely different than what is on the outside. There's actual crust on the outside of a pastrami. So I like both of them. I'll eat them both. I don't care. All right, we're gonna take a break for the news, which is coming up next.
Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled her wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
All right. Alive, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago. And we are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All of our regular Friday features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all coming up, and then Fly Jams Friday will be happening. We're continuing our celebration of St. Patrick's Day weekend, and now we're going to jump into the world of movies. What do you think are the best Irish movies? What are some of your favorite Irish movies of all time? There have been a ton of them, and I've got a couple of lists in front of me here, and we can talk about some of these movies. But what are your favorite Irish movies of all time? 312-981-7200. It's funny because like a bunch of them just star Daniel Day-Lewis. It kind of goes like, well, if Daniel Day-Lewis is in it, it's a good Irish movie. That's kind of how it works, because I could probably name six Daniel Day-Lewis movies, that would be considered fantastic Irish films. It's not just because he's like one of the greatest actors that ever lived, but because he's starred in some really, really good Irish films. Not the least of which was a movie called In the Name of the Father, which is such a great movie. And he and Pete Postlewaite was in it. And it's a tremendous, tremendous movie. So, we've got some other, folks here, who are, jumping in on some of the topics here. We got some texts here. 312-981-7200. 815 area code says, Frank O'Dowd's In the Irish Cottage in Galena. It's a fabulous setting and fabulous food. When you walk in, you're struck with portraits of great men with Irish heritage. Frank O'Dowd's in Galena. Oh, Vic, do we have to go to the newsroom, right, Vic?
Yeah, just quickly, Nick, just so we can keep the listeners updated. The police commissioner in New Zealand has just updated the death toll to 49 now dead. 49 killed in those two terrorist attacks in New Zealand at those mosques in the town of Christchurch. Again, 49 killed, and there are nearly 50 hospitalized.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, you're going to keep us updated, right?
Yep, we'll keep you updated, Nick.
Okay, Vic's in the newsroom. He's got his eyes and ears on the situation in New Zealand as it continues to develop, and we get more developments there. We'll keep you completely updated on everything that happens there. A 708 area code says, The Onion Roll in Oak Park is the only place I get corned beef. They were mentioned in the article. I make corned beef and cabbage dinner at home several times a year. It's the best I've ever eaten. Let's see. 815 area code says, support the VFW halls in your neighborhood. They all make great corned beef and cabbage soup and a sandwich. It's and it goes to a really good cause. That's a good point. VFW halls always have the Irish, the corned beef and cabbage dinners that you can check out. But so what do you guys think? Irish movies, 312-981-7200. Got some texts here. Let's see. This is Rasco, who says, I watch Waking Ned Divine every year at this time. That is a great movie. Waking Ned Divine is a great, great movie. Really sweet, like low-budget Irish movie about a guy who dies with a winning lottery ticket, and it kind of makes everybody go a little bit crazy. A wonderful movie. Really, really funny. Irish movie, The Quiet Man with John Wayne. That's Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin. That one goes without saying. The Quiet Man is, probably considered the classic movie. And if I'm not mistaken, can you look this up, Bendy? Can you see? I think Dean is hosting a Family Classics on Sunday on Channel 9. A showing of The Quiet Man. And our good friend Matthew C. Hoffman over at the Pickwick Theater, who's the guy who programs the Park Ridge Classic Film Series, they just had an unbelievably successful screening of The Quiet Man on Wednesday night. I think they had over 1,000 people show up for it in the brand new big mega theater at the Pickwick Theater. So they had a massively successful screening of that movie. Congratulations, Matthew, man. That's a nice, huge crowd, but that's a classic movie. That's if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna watch a movie on and around St. Patrick's Day, that's kind of a good go-to. John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara. John says the brothers McMullen, The Matchmaker, Waking Ned Divine, and State of Grace. Ah, State of Grace. I love that movie. Sean Penn, Ed Harris, John C. Reilly, the great Gary Oldman. It's about the Irish mob in Hell's Kitchen in New York, and it's really an incredibly underrated movie. Not a lot of people. When you mention State of Grace to people, people are like, I don't know, what is that? But it's great. And I'll tell you something. Everybody is great in the movie. The performances are fantastic. John Turturro's in it. It's a really beautifully made, beautifully acted film about the Irish mob in New York. And has a pretty insane slow motion shootout at the end. All the performances are good, but man, Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman is so great in State of Grace. He's so great in that movie. He should have been nominated or should have won an Academy Award for it. Elizabeth says The Quiet Man. Yep. Best Irish movie is Frank McCourt's Angela's Ashes, based on his book, hands down. It's a good movie. The book's a lot better, though. But I like Angela's Ashes. I think Angela's Ashes is a very, very good movie. But I would recommend that people read the book. And Frank McCourt, incredible, incredible writer. And the history, you know, is unbelievable. Nick, the best Irish movie is a Walt Disney original, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, based on the Irish folklore. One of Sean Connery's early movies. I own it and I watch it every St. Patrick's Day. That's Nancy. 630 area code says, best Irish movies, Going My Way and The Quiet Man. I think we can pretty much just assume that more people are going to say The Quiet Man, because I mean it's the quintessential Irish movie. 815 area code, Irish movie theme, The Devil's Own. It's a heartbreaker set in the times of the IRA. Harrison Ford, Brad Pitt, awesome acting. I think Brad Pitt's accent is pretty bad in that movie. I mean, it's not a bad movie, but I know some Irish people who have seen that movie and went, what the hell is he doing? What exactly is that accent? So I mentioned In the Name of the Father with Daniel Day-Lewis, but I mean, he's got so many. My Left Foot, where he played Christy Brown. I mean, just an extraordinary performance, you know, all the way around. And I mean, like I said, if you put Daniel Day-Lewis in a movie, he's gonna kill in it. He earned his first Oscar for My Left Foot. Christy Brown. He's a working class Irishman born with cerebral palsy. He can only move his left foot. And if you've not seen that movie, it's pretty unbelievable. As I mentioned, In the Name of the Father, he played an Irishman who was falsely convicted and imprisoned for his suspected role in the 1974 IRA bombing in England. And he was falsely imprisoned or falsely accused, and then he was imprisoned, and that's what the movie's about. And Pete Postlewaite is in it. I remember watching that movie. The first time I saw that movie, it just made me so angry. It was just, I mean, it just made me just so incredibly angry watching, you know, what these characters had to go through. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us with your thoughts on best Irish movies. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Once, which is a pretty extraordinary movie. That's set in and around Dublin, and it's become a Broadway musical. It has taken off. It's just a low budget, beautiful movie about the relationship between two people and their street musicians, and how they write some music together, and how it brings them together. It's Glenn Hansard, who is in The Frames, and Marketa Urglova, and they star as these street musicians in Dublin, and they have a romance through music, and the music is fantastic. The movie's great. The location work is brilliant, and I think it's one of the best Irish movies ever made. Without question, one of the best Irish movies ever made. So those are some of the choices. We got a lot more here. We want to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. What are your favorite Irish movies? Phone lines, text lines are open. We got some text coming in, but we also have some phone lines open at 312-981-7200 for your favorite Irish movies.
I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town.
That's right, dirty old town.
Dirty old town.
Yep. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above downtown Chicago. And we are talking about St. Patrick's Day stuff. And right now we're talking about the best Irish movies of all time. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I got a bunch of titles here that I'm going to throw out, and we would love to talk about your favorites. It's St. Patrick's Day. Do you watch a movie besides The Quiet Man? I know that everybody likes to watch The Quiet Man every year, which is, you know, a great tradition because it's one of the greatest Irish movies ever made. A classic. It's one of the iconic ones that everybody thinks of immediately. But is there, are there other ones that you watch for St. Patrick's Day? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And let's go to Ozzy on WGN. Ozzy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, nice Irish boy like you doing this, huh?
Yeah, well,
Julio,
I'm half Irish, my friend.
No, I'm Italian.
Yeah, I know. I'm Italian and half Irish, though. So I'm.
No,
split right
I know.
Down. Yeah. Okay.
I told your boy Miller's Crossing.
Yeah, Miller's Crossing about the Irish mob, the Coen brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a movie that, you know, when nobody knew anything about. Then all of a sudden you start watching it on cable. Say, oh my God, is this a good movie?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden becomes a movie where you come home at night from work and I run a restaurant and you want to go to sleep and it's on and you've seen it 10 times, but you still watch it.
Yeah. Yep. It's become one of those classic Coen Brothers movies. A lot of Coen Brothers movies, you know, especially their early stuff, had like a cult following or no following, and then suddenly they're turned into classics, and Miller's Crossing is definitely considered that. And everybody's so good. Gabriel Byrne and...
the best.
And John Turturro. God, his scene in the forest?
Yes.
Unbelievable. It's a great movie. A great movie. All right, Ozzy, thanks,
good.
Buddy.
You're welcome, buddy.
Take care. Yeah, Miller's Crossing. If you've not seen that one, it's, Coen Brothers are now popular. They're considered legends. They've won Oscars, and people actually go out and see their movies now. For the most part, but that's an early one. That was was their third movie, because their first movie was Blood Simple. Their second movie was Raising Arizona, and then their follow up to Raising Arizona was Miller's Crossing, which is a really ambitious, beautiful movie about the Irish mob. Guess it's a great movie. Miller says Monument Avenue, but I haven't seen that one in a long time. I remember liking it. I just haven't seen it in a really long time. From the 2000, The Perfect Piece was directed by Barry Levinson. No one saw it. It was about a guy who sold toupees in Belfast. I saw it. I liked it. I actually liked it. But you know, it's not a surprise that not a lot of people saw a movie which the plot is a guy sells toupees in Belfast. So, 630 Area Kid says The Town with Ben Affleck. That's a terrific movie. Then the late, great Pete Postlewaite. That was his last movie. He's in that one, too. Dan from Alsip says Darby and the Little People and The Departed. 630 area code lets us know that, FYI, you can buy Manny's corned beef at Costco. Oh. I did not know that. You can get Manny's corned beef from Manny's Cafeteria in the South Loop. You can get it at the Costco. It's good to know. 708 area code, Boondock Saints has the best cult following. I know, and I don't understand why that movie has a cult following, because I hate it. I don't understand it. I mean, there's a huge following to Boondock Saints. Those guys, by the way, you get your Norman Reedus and whoever the hell else, I can't even remember who was in that movie. But I just remember I couldn't stand it. And, but there's a, you want to talk about a huge cult following. 708 area code is right. There's a huge cult following for Boondock Saints. I remember I was at Wizard World, and they had the Boondock Saint guys all together. You can get the autograph and a picture with them, and their line was just wrapped around. I mean, the line was just huge. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I tried to watch it a second time, and because so many people love it and it's become this cult classic, I can't even get through it. 406 area code says, my girlfriend's favorite is Leprechaun. You mean just Leprechaun? Not Leprechaun in Space or Leprechaun in the Hood? And 406 area code says, I think it should go to Gangs of New York. Yeah, I really like Gangs of New York. And again, Daniel Day-Lewis is in it, so automatically. But we could just say that Daniel Day-Lewis, if Daniel Day-Lewis is in a movie playing an Irishman, it's great. That's how it works. I remember when Gangs of New York came out, it didn't get the kind of recognition that I think it deserves. A lot of people don't think it's one of Scorsese's best movies. I like it. I think it's great. My problem with that movie is Cameron Diaz. I don't know what the hell Scorsese was thinking by casting her in it. And I understand, and I acknowledge fully that that's an issue, like a pretty big issue with that movie is the casting of Cameron Diaz. But other than that, I think it's great. I think DiCaprio's great. I think John C. Reilly's great. And it goes without saying that Daniel Day-Lewis is pretty mind-bogglingly good because he's that good in everything. 404 area code says, sorry, I turned the program on late. Did anyone mention Blown Away? Oh, man, people hate that movie. I like it. I do have an issue, again, with accents here. I think Tommy Lee Jones' accent is kind of ridiculous. But Jeff Bridges is fantastic in it. And Jeff Bridges is my favorite actor of all time. So I pretty much like everything that that Jeff Bridges does. But that movie, if you actually ask an Irishman about Blown Away, they hate it, which is really kind of interesting from the Irish point of view. It's not a well liked movie. But so, all right, we got a lot more here. I haven't even mentioned Saoirse Ronan yet. You know. So I think I'm just going to spend my St. Patrick's Day just listening to Saoirse Ronan talk, because I could listen to Saoirse Ronan talk for a week straight and not get tired of it and not think it's beautiful and charming and lovely. I love Saoirse Ronan. I love her. I've loved her ever since she was a little kid. When I saw her in Atonement, I was like, who is this? What is going on here? She's amazing. I love her. And I'm so glad for her success, for all of her success. God, she's so good. So, Mary Queen of Scots, she was great in it. And, I mean, Lady Bird, come on, man. The only problem is that I always like it better when she has her Irish accent. Because that's, you know, she's got the best Irish accent. You know, I could listen to her and Colin Farrell talk for 10 hours. Because for my money, the Irish accent is the best accent. It's the coolest and the sexiest accent is the Irish accent. Always felt that way. So, all right, let's take a quick break, and we got the news, and then after the news, we'll jump right back into this. We're celebrating some St. Patrick's Day stuff, and now we're talking about what are your favorite Irish movies of all time? 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. You know, the first thing I did when my ex-wife and I checked into our B&B in Dublin?
No. What's that?
Went straight to the Phil Lynott statue in the middle of Dublin.
Oh, cool.
So, or Lynott, if it depends on how you're supposed to pronounce it. But so there's this awesome Phil Lynott statue in downtown, right off of Grafton in Dublin. He's basically Thin Lizzy, and he's a legend in Irish culture. People just worship the guy, and as they should, because Thin Lizzy is one of the greatest bands of all time. But that's the first thing I did. It was like, I don't care about anything else. I've got to go to the statue right now. Got a picture of me with Phil Lynott. So that's Thin Lizzy's version of Whiskey in a Jar, which, of course, is an Irish standard. And we're playing some Irish music here because it's St. Patrick's Day weekend, and we've been talking about some fun St. Patrick's Day stories and facts and stuff like that. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are now concentrating on Irish movies. What are your favorite Irish movies? What do you think are the best Irish movies ever made? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we'll take your calls and we'll read your texts about your favorite Irish movies. So there you go. 312-981-7200. Here's Jim. He's in Melrose Park on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
I've got one for you. Went and seen U2 in 3D at one of your hangouts, Movieco. And we went to a matinee show at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I felt like Elvis Presley. Me and my son were the only ones in the entire show, along with one usher, but it was a very unusual show.
Yeah, well, it was a concert movie, and they shot it.
Right.
It was a concert movie, and they shot it in 3D. And it had a pretty good run at the box office because a lot of obviously U2 fans went in droves to see it. So very cool. All right, thanks,
okay.
Jim. Take care. All right, it's no longer the Movie Co. By the way, I want to make sure people know that it's the AMC Rosemont 18, and that's where I. That's where I host my my monthly film club screenings, of which the next one is Tuesday, April 9th. You should all come out to The Man Who Knew Too Much, starring Jimmy Stewart, directed by the great Alfred Hitchcock, and Doris Day is in it as well. It is a great, great thriller, quintessential Hitchcock movie that does not get shown on the big screen very often, so this is your chance to see it on the big screen. It's only $10. Parking is free. Get some food beforehand at Murray Brothers Caddyshack. Show them that you're going to go see the movie, and they will give you 15% off all of your food. The food is great. The atmosphere is great. There's a full bar. It is just and lots of Bill Murray and his brother's memorabilia throughout the whole place. A very, very, very cool restaurant that they've partnered with us for the past few months. And they've been giving our film club members and people who are coming to see our movies a great 15% discount on all the food. So stop into the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant, which is right down the street. Get your 15% off food, have some great dinner, and then go on over to the movie, which is 2 seconds away. And it's at 8 o'clock, and it's the great Alfred Hitchcock thriller, The Man Who Knew Too Much, with Jimmy Stewart. I will introduce the movie at 8 o'clock. We'll watch the movie together, and then we'll have a little movie talk afterwards, which is always a lot of fun. So I hope you guys can make it out. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And to reserve your seats right now, tickets are on sale for The Man Who Knew Too Much on Tuesday, April 9th. Go to amctheaters.com, amctheaters.com. Reserve your seats right now, amctheaters.com. All right. Yes, Ben.
I just want to put a movie out there.
Yeah.
Just because so far, texters have stolen my first two.
Okay.
So number three, I'm going to go with Patriot Games with Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a long time. I haven't seen that one in a long time. I don't think I've seen that since it came out. That's how long ago it's been.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And what were the two that they stole your thunder?
First one was Blown Away.
Okay.
And then Boondock Saints.
Oh, God, I hated that movie.
I know.
I don't understand. I really don't understand. But you know what? I mean, it's got a massive following. I mean, it's got a huge following.
Could have gone with Boondock Saints too. You know,
well, that's
Saints Day with the midget.
I don't even think I saw the sequel because I hated the first one so much. I don't even think I saw the sequel.
Sequel is pretty entertaining.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mean, I don't know if you'll like it, but
yeah. I mean, considering how I feel about the first one, it might be a difficult sell.
Yeah, as you're probably catching on by now in the weeks that we've had together here. You know, I'm an action aficionado.
Well, so. you like the action movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's see. All right. Irish movies. 312-981-7200. I mentioned Saoirse Ronan. I love her and everything, but I have to single out Brooklyn from a few years ago. It's just such a beautiful and lovely movie, and she's so good in it. And she plays a young Irish immigrant who goes to New York, hanging out in a New York borough, but she's torn between her homeland of Ireland and her adopted city. And it's about her missing Ireland, but really, really loving America and embracing America and having a relationship with a man, you know, in New York, but also having, you know, someone on the other side of the Atlantic as well. It's carried by Saoirse Ronan's performance. She is just such a tremendous screen presence, and she's so lovely, and I think she's great. And, you know, you watch a movie like Brooklyn, and when she is the emotional center of the movie, you're immediately hooked. Like, you really, really care. You really care about this girl, and you wish her the best, and I was all sorts of emotions watching that movie. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. Let's see. Bob J. says, I like the movie Leap Year. And it shows a lot of scenes of County Mayo in Ireland and Galway in the movie. Galway was my favorite place when we went to Ireland. We went all over the place. We were from, you know, southern Ireland all the way up to Belfast and everything in between. But Galway stayed with me. Galway was the place that I really loved the most. And I loved every place we went to. I mean, it's the best trip I've ever gone on, most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. But I really, Galway, for some reason, really stuck with me. David Lean directing Ryan's Daughter, 815 area code. Brian says, thanks for the show. Recent Irish movie called Black 47 is a good one. Rattle and Hum starring U2. That was the movie that made me hate U2 for a while. I hated that movie so much because they came off as such asses in that movie. And yeah, that was at their most. There was a period of time when U2 was like insanely pretentious, and it was right after the Joshua Tree came out. You know, after the success of the Joshua Tree, which is a great album. I'm not saying anything bad about the Joshua Tree because it's a great record. But that tour, you know, and then Phil Juwano, by the way, directed Rattle and Hum. He also directed State of Grace, the gangster movie that we were talking about a little bit earlier on. But they just come off as so pompous in that movie. And like, one of the messages to me that it felt like to me was they legitimized American music by them playing it. It just drove me nuts. And they're just standing on, you know, it's a movie was shot in black and white, and they're standing outside, like, looking at cacti and stuff. I'm like, what? Yeah, Rattle and Hum. But then they won me back because I was anti U2 for a couple of years because of that movie and because of like interviews with Bono and the band because they came off as unbearably pretentious and pompous. But then they released Achtung Baby, and I was back on board, and I've been on board since then. Achtung Baby is so, and that tour was unbelievably cool. The tour for Achtung Baby. Now, your first concert was U2.
Correct.
And it was on the pop tour? Was it the
Europop?
Yeah. the tour for Achtung Baby, when, you know, Bono was ordering pizzas to the White House and stuff, and he started making fun of his own persona, you know, like because he was so deadly pretentiously serious. Mm-hmm. And then like when Achtung Baby came out, suddenly they all had a sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And all that pompous stuff was dropped. I've always been a fan. I just had that period of time where I'm like, guys, pull back the pretentiousness a little bit, you know? And they did big time when Achtung Baby came out. I love you too. And they're great live. Great. The Fighting Sullivans and Only the Lonely with John Candy and Maureen O'Hara are choices. Aileen says, happy St. Pat's Day. My favorite Irish movies are, of course, The Quiet Man, The Commitments, and Ondine. You know, we have to talk about The Commitments. We will. I have to break here for some weather, but that movie rules. The Commitments is just fantastic. Well, it's part of the trilogy, because there's a trilogy that Roddy Doyle was responsible for, and it's The Commitments, and it's The Snapper and The Van, and they all star the great Cole Meany, who is ridiculously good in those movies. Ridiculously good. So those are great. But I want to, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about The Commitments and how terrific that movie really is. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. We got to take a break here for some weather, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the conversation about Irish movies that are great, and we want to get your thoughts and titles at 312-981-7200. Okay, so today, cloudy, windy, and colder. Scattered rain showers could mix with wet snow before the ending early in the afternoon. For tomorrow, partly sunny, dry, chilly for St. Patrick's Day parade. For Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds for St. Patrick's Day and a high in the mid-40s. For Monday, partly cloudy, cooler, afternoon highs around 40 degrees. Tuesday, abundant sunshine much of the day, highs in the mid-40s. It's currently 38 degrees at O'Hare, it's 38 at Midway, and 39 at the lakefront. So we're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Irish movies that you love and Irish movies that we all love right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And our regular features will be coming up after 4 o'clock, and that's You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then we'll get a little funky for the last part of the show and play some Fly Jams on Fly Jams Friday. We were just talking about Irish movies in honor of St. Patrick's Day. And we mentioned, somebody mentioned The Commitments, and I just wanted to mention the Barrytown Trilogy. The Barrytown Trilogy is a trilogy of books written by Roddy Doyle, and they've been made into movies. It's The Commitments, The Snapper, and The Van. That's the Barrytown Trilogy. If you've not read these books, they're fantastic books. The Barrytown Trilogy, they're fantastic books. And they've been made into great movies. All three of the movies are great, and they feature the one, the only, the fantastic Cole Meany, who is... That's the quintessential role for him are in these three movies. But The Commitments was the first one, and it was the most commercially successful and the one with the biggest budget. And it's about a group of people that get together, an R&B musicians in Dublin, and it was just a wonderful movie that really took off. Like that movie really took off, and the soundtrack was massively huge. And also on a personal note, drove me completely insane when I worked at Ginger's Ale House because, you know, every 15 minutes I had to hear their version of Mustang Sally, which is fine, but it's not nearly as good as, you know, the original version of Mustang Sally. But the soundtrack was ubiquitous and it was a very entertaining movie and a really, really great adaptation of Roddy Doyle's book. So if you want to read a few Irish books for this weekend, get the Barrytown Trilogy by Roddy Doyle. I can't recommend it highly enough. It's just fantastic. And those movies are, all three of the movies are great. So that's highly, highly recommended if you're in the mood for some Irish movies and books. Let's see. 763 area code says Far and Away. Oh my God, I hate that movie. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman. You want to talk about bad accents? Ugh. And it's like 3 hours long. Ron Howard directed it. Ugh. 262 area go to agrees with State of Grace. Let's say 815 area code says Yankee Doodle Dandy, oldie with James Cagney. You realized he was an amazing dancer, not just a good bad guy, and he loved that role. Okay. All right. The same director that did... once did a terrific movie called Sing, which was just a really a lovely movie. It was similar to Once, you know, in that it was about music. It was a pretty big hit on the festival circuit, and it follows a young Dublin misfit who is desperate to fit in and win the heart of his classmates. And he's an enterprising young lad. He's a young lad, and he starts a band, and that's how it all comes together for him. Again, another really terrific movie. I really enjoyed Michael Collins, story of Michael Collins with Liam Neeson as the Irish revolutionary. And it's a really passionate, really good movie. I question the casting of Julia Roberts. That's my only issue with the movie, is I think Julia Roberts is pretty miscast, and I think there were a lot of actresses who could have been much better for the role. 312-981-7200 is here's another Daniel Day-Lewis movie, The Boxer, and he plays a former IRA activist who returns to his working class Irish town after serving 14 years in prison and becomes a boxer. Another terrific movie and another terrific performance by Daniel Day-Lewis. So Bloody Sunday, which is a tremendous movie. Paul Greengrass directed it, and it's about, you know, that day, that Sunday, during the Troubles, and it's a devastating movie, an absolutely devastating film, but beautifully made and really, you know, a really powerful movie, a great, great movie. The Wind That Shakes the Barley, which is a really wonderful movie that not a lot of people have seen. The Crying Game, which I think is great for about the first third, and then it kind of falls apart. And my thing about The Crying Game is that I saw the movie before all the hype, and before everybody was talking about the big twist, the big surprise in the movie. So I saw it about a month before it was released. They screened it for the critics. I saw it about a month before its release. And I remember sitting in the screening room watching the movie, and as soon as I saw, Jay Davidson was his name. As soon as I saw him in the beauty parlor, I was like, that's a guy. And so I just assumed, you know, that people knew that was a guy. And then the big reveal is a shock to Stephen Ray's character, but it was not a shock to me. I was like, that's clearly a man. And so when the movie was being hyped upon its release, saying, oh, you're going to be shocked by the big twist, by the big surprise, you will never know what's happening. And I was like, what's the big surprise in this movie? You know, when they started doing the advertising, I was like, what surprise? There was no big twist. There was no surprise. Until I realized that the big surprise was the reveal that he was indeed a man. And I was like, oh, that's the surprise? Oh, all right, because I wasn't surprised by that at all. And that became the big thing. The Secret of Rowan Inish, which is a really lovely movie. I can't recommend that one highly enough. Really beautiful and magical and just great stuff. A really incredibly powerful movie with one of Richard Harris's best performances. One of his best performances of all time. It was a film that was a little bit late in his career, but it was called The Field. And this is a movie about a man struggling to keep this patch of land that he has in Ireland. And it is it's a pretty, pretty spectacular performance from Richard Harris. And Richard Harris has went on record as saying that it was maybe his favorite role of all time. And I can see that because he's so good in it. It's such a powerful movie. I mean, a really, really powerful movie. If you've never seen The Field, you should. So that brings me to my favorite Irish movie of all time. I wanted to save this for a little bit just so I can plug it. My favorite Irish movie of all time, directed again by Neil Jordan. And by the way, throughout this conversation, we've mentioned probably about six movies that Neil Jordan directed. I think he's the best Irish director working today. He just released a movie called Greta last week, which I liked and nobody else did, but that's Neil Jordan. My favorite is based on the book, and it's called The Butcher Boy, which is a very twisted, crazy movie about this kid. And one of the greatest child performances I've ever seen in my life, and again, Stephen Ray is in it. It's a dark, twisted movie about this really screwed-up kid who keeps his dead father around and is just antisocial and is clearly going to grow up to be a monster. It is an astonishing movie. It is really, truly one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's my favorite Irish movie of all time. So, The Butcher Boy. It's not for everybody. It's very intense, very weird, and the main character is really twisted. But it's blackly funny. It's really, really sort of twisted and entertaining, and that's my favorite Irish movie of all time. So I wanted to make sure that I mentioned The Butcher Boy. All right, we'll wrap it up here. We'll wrap it up with some more here from the texts. Mark, the Breadman, says, what about Leprechaun 2, Back in the Hood? Yeah, we mentioned that one a little bit earlier. Snoop Dogg's in that. Darby O'Gill and the Little People with a young Sean Connery. Into the West with Gabriel Byrne. Oh, yeah, nobody mentioned Into the West. That's a really terrific movie. The Secret of Rowan Inish, which we just mentioned. Going My Way with Bing Crosby and Barry Fitzgerald, 312 says. 708 area code says Colin Farrell and Ondine, which is a beautiful movie in Ireland. Again, directed by Neil Jordan. 847 area code. This is a stretch, but I believe they were Irish hitmen, and the lead was Colin Farrell in Bruges. In Bruges is a phenomenal movie with Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, both Irish guys, and they're stuck in Bruges. That is a great movie. A truly, truly great movie. And God, is Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes is good in it, too. Everybody's so good in that movie, and it's so funny and so dark. Great stuff. Three Irish movies that I would love to mention, 773 area code. The Field, which I just talked about, Richard Harris, amazing in it. The Wind That Shakes the Barley, which we mentioned with Cillian Murphy, and The Run of the Country. And then finally, 630 area code says, Cassandra's Dream was my vote for a good Irish movie. Colin Farrell's in it, so that, you know, it gives you a leg up. But that was a Woody Allen movie, so it's a little rough. All right, so there you go. Have a great St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We're going to take a break. We've got the news. When we come back, it's time for all of our regular Friday features, starting with you, Big Dummy.
Here's Dummy. You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you Big Dummy.
You Dummy.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Friday, and that means it's time for all the Friday features that we do every week. And we start it with,
You Big Dummy!
This is where we take real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them, we recap them, we vote, and then you get to vote, too. You'll be our third vote, first person through after the recap of the dummies at 312-981-7200 gets to be the third vote. Let's get to the dummies. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one. A Florida man. Oh, that's a shock, Ben. Florida. A Florida man is facing felony charges after allegedly stealing pills that he thought were opioids. They were actually laxatives. Peter Emery, 56, was caught on video taking pills from a lockbox, according to the county sheriff's official affidavit. He later told police that he took pills thinking that they were hydrocodone, acetaminophen, which is a narcotic that contains an opioid. When he learned that they were, quote, something else, he threw the pills away. The pills were gentle laxatives, equate gentle laxatives, and over-the-counter medication that can help relieve constipation. Emery's roommate switched the pills after suspecting Emery was stealing his pain medication. Roommate James Ream also set up a camera to record the incident. Emery has multiple prior theft convictions, the arrest affidavit says. Online records show that Emery was booked on felony charges, including multiple counts of theft on Thursday. He was arrested near St. Petersburg, Florida, records show, and he got busted thanks to the video set up by his roommate.
Before this game, you were just a plain dummy, but after the night, you'd be a broke dummy. To the dummy with the black mustache.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. A Wisconsin man's attempt to play a prank on his neighbors ended up devolving into a literal pandemonium last month after police were called to a neighborhood on a report of a suspicious animal. The Muskego Police Department said the incident took place on February 22nd after a resident contacted authorities to report a panda bear being spotted at the front door of the hotel of the home. The caller thought it was suspicious since panda bears aren't native to the Badger State. It's a big teddy bear, the caller said to the operator. When asked further details by the operator, the caller replied, "Teddy bear, honest to God, teddy bear." Officers responded to the home and made contact with the panda bear, who turned out to be a 48-year-old resident in a costume. The man, who does not want to be identified, said that he had been asked to dog sit at a friend's house and thought dressing up to do it would be a fun prank. He said, "I know that my neighbors had security cameras set up, so I thought, well, I'm going to make this an ordinary into the extraordinary. I'm going to dress up in my panda outfit. So I was just about to pivot and walk up the lawn. I turn around, and there are at least three squad cars and a fourth and fifth coming. The man said he knew his neighbors had surveillance cameras and wanted to prank them by donning the $125 suit. He said he's also picked up his daughter from school in the suit and greeted her at the school bus since pandas are her favorite animal. Police eventually made contact with the homeowners, who verified that the panda was allowed at their home. They were thankful to their neighbors that they were looking out for their property.
What kind of life do you think it is being the father of a young dummy? And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number three. A domestic dispute over pickleball turned violent and resulted in the arrest of a 61-year-old Florida. There we go again, Florida. After allegedly pummeling her husband in the couple's residence in the Village retirement community. In response to a domestic battery complaint, police officer arrived at 1:45 a.m. on Monday. To the Wildwood home shared by Lon Augustus and her 67-year-old spouse. Augustus' husband told the cop that the couple got into a verbal altercation regarding a pickleball clinic that was being offered at the Villages. After engaging in words, the man said Augustus struck him in the face with a closed fist. He also alleged that the argument sparked up after another hour, and she punched him in the face again and struck him in the foot with a small metal easel. The victim said he did not believe he suffered any serious injuries during the confrontation. The patrolman said he observed slight swelling on the man's left cheek. When she was questioned, Augustine said that the couple got into a verbal altercation regarding a pickleball membership. Augustus was subsequently arrested with battery on a person over the age of 65, which is a felony. Pickleball, by the way, is a racket sport played on badminton-sized court with a 3-foot-tall net. Billed as the fastest-growing sport in the U.S., pickleball has become a favorite of seniors in the retirement community, residents seeking more action than shuffleboard can offer.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy.
Dummy number four. After being caught having sex in a hot tub at an Ohio water park, a couple was arrested Tuesday evening on trespassing and disorderly conduct charges after they fled from security personnel. Cops alleged that Camden Mack, 25, and Taylor Coates, 22, were trysting in the spa at the Kalahari Resort when they were spotted by a lifeguard. When the lovebirds, who live in Michigan, refused to leave, police were summoned to the water park, which advertises hair-raising water slides, world-class spa, kids' play areas, and diverse dining options. During Mac and Coates' 8 p.m. hot tub frolics, cops noted several families were seated around tables with young children. After the cops arrived at the resort, Mac and Coates allegedly took off running from the security guards. Mac was subsequently tackled, handcuffed, and placed in the rear of the police cruiser, from which he later bolted due to a malfunctioning lock. He was again tackled, this time by the cop, and returned to the squad car. Coates, who was apprehended inside her hotel room, was charged with 2 misdemeanors and released from jail on her own recognizance. Mack was charged with the same misdemeanors as Coates, but he also hit with a felony escape count for running from a patrol car. He was freed from the Erie County Jail after posting a $21,000 bond.
Well, if you and Rollo gonna be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Dummy number five. A drive-thru customer enraged at the paucity of the meat on his Mexican pizza, stormed a Taco Bell in South Carolina and, quote, walked into the kitchen area and began making his own food. According to cops, the suspect entered the Taco Bell Wednesday afternoon complaining that there was not enough meat on my Mexican pizza. A store employee told the cops that she remade the suspect's food. The man, however, was equally displeased with the second pizza and demanded a refund. When told that was not possible since the manager was not on the premises at the time, the suspect became enraged, declaring that he would show the employees how to make his food the appropriate way. The man then walked behind the counter into the kitchen area and began making his own food. A Taco Bell worker noted that the suspect did not follow proper health and safety guidelines by not wearing protective gloves while making the food. The Taco Bell employee said the suspect made himself another Mexican pizza and subsequently left the store and the premises. The man and the worker said was angry and upset throughout his time in the facility. He used foul language in response to her repeated demands to leave the Taco Bell. Investigators described the Mexican pizza enthusiast Mexican as a black man with braids or dreadlocks in his late 20s or early 30s. He was dressed in a black sweatshirt, gray pants. He left the restaurant in a late-model Dodge Challenger, driven by a woman who never entered the restaurant. Police expect to retrieve video surveillance footage by Taco Bell security cameras soon.
Hey, something for you right here. Want it, dummy.
All right. We'll do the recap here, and then we got to vote. So after the recap, we would love to hear from someone out there at 312-981-7200, and you will be our third vote. Okay, we got the dummy who got laxatives instead of opioids. We've got the dummy who wore the panda suit, was caught on tape. We got the dummy the dummies who fought over a game of pickleball. We got the dummies who were busted for having sex in a water park. And the dummy who stormed into a Taco Bell, went behind the counter, and made his own food. All right. Where are you going to go with this, Tom?
Taco Bell.
The Taco Bell dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. By the way, call us up at now at 312-981-7200, and you will be our third vote. So we would just want to hear from you guys. But the dummy who got, I love the fact that the roommate knew that this guy was stealing his pills. And put the laxatives in there, and I like when the guy said who stole them said that they were something, quote unquote, something else. He threw them out. We have the panda suit guy. Anytime somebody wears like a panda or bear suit, I laugh because it's similar to a mascot. So just picturing this guy up on the front porch of this house on the security camera in the panda suit is pretty funny. The pickleball it's funny because it's pickleball. By the way, the phone lines are open, so you want to get in here and you want to vote right now. First person through is our third vote, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And then we got the dummies who had sex in the water park. That's also stupid. But I'm going to agree with you, Tom. The dummy who stormed into the Taco Bell to make his own food is clearly, I think, the dummy of the week. But we still want to get a third vote. So let's go to the phones here and see what this what the next vote is here, but we've already got we already have a majority here of the vote. So let's see who we got. And this is Ed. Go ahead. Who are you voting for? Ed.
Yes, John.
Okay, go ahead. Who are you voting for?
Vote for Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. All right, it's unanimous. Taco Bell, the dummy who stormed back behind the counter and made his own food, his Mexican food, Mexican pizza. Not enough meat on it. Storm back there to get it. All right, so that's our dummy of the week. We'll do it again next week. All right, we're going to break here for some weather, and we come back. We'll get back to the regular features, which Straight Outta Context. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight
out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're back with our regular Friday features. This is Straight Out of Context. You know what this is. This is when you listen to this radio station 24-7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle a little bit, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to NickDShow@gmail.com. NickDShow@gmail.com. All right, Ben, start us off.
All right, first off is from Scott in Carpentersville, and he sends us a Lou Manfredini.
All right.
I can touch them right now.
you might not want to do that, Lou. Not now. We can hold off. Okay, man, what do we got next?
Our own WGN Curtis Koch.
All right.
Sent in one from Mark Carmen.
Mark Carmen.
What about the ability to go deep?
Even the people here at WGN you know, like to do this this thing here. All right, what's next?
Next, Jim sends us a Rick Pearson.
Okay.
The tongue always finds that little space.
What? What?
He was talking with a sharp tongue that day.
Evidently.
Yep.
Okay.
Linda from Blue Island sent us a great series of pieces. So here's three I have from Dean Richards and Elton Jim Toronto.
All right.
Schwanny is a liquor.
Oh, my God. Okay, next.
It gets worse.
All right.
He's premature. premature liquor.
What? What is going on? All right, and then this is this next one too.
He gets done very quick.
All right, somebody needs to supervise that Sunday morning show.
Yeah, well, Ernie Skatton was there too. I mean, it's all types of chaos.
But right.
they were talking ice cream.
Of course they were. Yeah.
I mean, at least that's what they were.
That's what they claim.
Yeah.
All right.
Kevin from Iowa sends us a Nick DiGilio.
I just want to see the monster. Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, I wasn't around for that one, so. Okay. Ken from Hillside sends us Steve Cochran.
I'm sorry I came so quickly.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. once again, the morning show.
Yep.
Yep. Brian sends us a Kim Gordon Anna DeVlantis combo.
Come on, I want the happy ending here.
I do too.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, it was an entertaining week.
Yeah?
Yeah. Kevin from Iowa sends us one more, and it's you.
All right, well, let's get to the big one. Okay. The big one. All right.
Another Brian sends us John Williams with Jen DeSalvo.
So you like that, huh?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny. Okay.
I can't divulge who sent me this one. But it's Bill and Wendy. It's an in-house person.
And they want to be they want to be anonymous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it's probably their producer. But
it's possible.
But go ahead.
All right, here's Wendy.
But I want to taste it.
Okay.
Yep. And Bill responds.
Oh. Wow. What do you think?
What the hell is going on?
It was an interesting day.
All right.
Yeah. The two of them just get weird.
It's not salty enough for me.
It's not salty enough?
Okay. So this is a series.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's continue.
That was the last one in the series.
Oh, that was the last one.
That was the last one in the series.
All right. But, okay. I thought it was going to continue to go on.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right, what's next?
Andrea Darlis, and we get this from the 773 area code.
We'll give it a try this year, and it just was so big.
Okay.
Jesse sends us a Dave Bennett.
My wife's going to do it for the first time this year.
As I've said before, I always love it when Dave is featured on this segment. Okay?
Let's see here. Ted sends us a Steve Cochran.
Who's the one you're most proud of nailing you haven't had before?
Okay. What's next?
This was a late arrival. The one and only engineer Dan Long.
Okay.
Sent me this one. And it's Frank Fontana.
It always happens when you have a sausage in your mouth.
Nice job, Dan. Nice grab.
Might have been his evil twin, Don Long.
Ah, yeah. I see. Okay.
And then we finish up with Bill and Wendy.
Okay.
Ooh.
What the hell? What was that?
You will appreciate it. They were talking Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, yeah. All right. Now there's another movie that I hate that everybody else loves.
Yep.
So, all right. So that's it?
That's it.
That's it. Straight out of context. We'll do it again next week. So keep listening. And whenever anybody says something that sounds a little dirty, you jot it down and you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right. We got a break here for the news. And then after the news, we've got Nick D Show Spies. And then we'll get some Fly Jams Fridays in. So get your requests ready to go in just a little bit. 312-981-7200. News is up after this.
Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like
hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies. 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 Like us.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. And it's we're here on a Friday morning, and that means we do our regular Friday features. We did our Straight Out of Context. We did our You Big Dummies, and now it's time for Nick D Show Spies. You know this. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time mentions me or the show, you become a spy. We want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Ben, what do we got?
All right, first submission today comes from Carol out of Beverly, and she shares Steve Cochran and Mary Vandeveld talking about rabbits.
About rabbits?
Rabbits.
Okay.
A lady that called on to Nick's show last night and said that she had a rabbit named Nick, and Nick was very excited. He said, that's the first animal named after me.
Wait, Mary just came in. I don't know if she... Mary, hi, Mary. Whenever you can get to the mic, I would like to talk to you about that. You were listening the morning when someone, it was a woman who called up and said that she had two rabbits and one of them was named Nick.
Yes.
And she named him after me.
I heard that, yeah.
I was very thrilled.
I know. That was very exciting.
I was like, wow.
I thought everyone should know that.
I appreciate that. Well, yeah. Well, was the morning show, was Cochran duly impressed?
I don't know. I think the subject was probably changed for
me. Oh, I see.
I don't remember, but I grew up, my sister had rabbits.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
And so now how long does typically a rabbit live?
Not long at all. And you know what? If they kill their babies as well. If their babies are like confined, and she had babies in a cage and she like ate them.
Oh, no.
She killed her own babies. I'll never forget that. I was traumatized.
It's got to be traumatic. How old were you? Were you just a kid?
Oh, no. We were teenagers, I believe, when she had...
Well, still, that's pretty...
But I was traumatized, and then she got another rabbit, and she had it in a small apartment in Madison in a studio, and I had to live with her for a while because I was working there at the time.
Yeah.
She was going to school there. So here's this rabbit, Samantha, in the...
Samantha is the name of the rabbit.
Samantha. It was hilarious, and Samantha... ran away, quote. No, no, I did not let Samantha loose.
No, you
didn't. To this day, she claims that I'm the one.
That you opened the cage and let her.
No, Samantha was not even in a cage. She was running around this studio apartment, dropping her little pellets everywhere. So when I woke up early in the morning to go to my shift, it's like, crunch, crunch. Oh, those aren't Cocoa Puffs, if you know what I mean.
Those are not Cocoa Puffs.
So it was...
So just the rabbit was just let loose. It was running around the apartment.
Yeah, it was running around the apartment, and she must open the door, and it got loose, and it was never... It was still...
Was the landlord aware that there was a rabbit running around the apartment?
I don't remember. It was like a student apartment type of thing.
Right.
One of those old buildings
sure.
in Madison. Beautiful building, by the
way.
Oh,
that's funny.
It was hilarious.
That's
funny. I didn't last long in that apartment with
my sister. So you have experience with rabbits, which was...
They don't live long.
No.
No, they do not.
Yeah, they don't. And when we were talking about that, I think somebody mentioned that they had a rabbit that lived for like 7 years or something. That was
That's unbelievable.
That was like a big deal.
Yeah, that
you is know, if you can have a rabbit for that amount of time. Well, I guess the lesson here is if they have babies, get them out of the cage.
Oh, definitely.
Put them someplace else.
Yes, they will not be safe. They do not like to be confined.
Didn't know that. Thank you for the lesson, Mary.
Yeah, rabbit lesson. It's weird.
All right. Okay, do we have more spies?
Yeah, we had one more.
Okay.
Bill and Wendy were talking and discussing Pete Davidson.
Oh, Pete. Okay.
A lot of people think he's not funny. A lot of people think...
Name names. Who doesn't think he's funny?
I can't remember. I think Nick DiGilio does not like him.
No?
I don't know.
I love Pete Davidson, Wendy. Somebody get that message back to Wendy. I think Pete Davidson's absolutely hilarious.
I'll get that message.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want to be misrepresented during middays, you know, because, you know, my listeners are probably asleep at that time. So I want to make sure that people know. I think Pete Davidson is hilarious. I think he's absolutely hilarious. I think the stuff he does on Weekend Update is brilliant. And, you know, he doesn't have the thing about Pete Davidson as a member of the SNL cast is he doesn't have a bunch of, as you know, I mean, you watch it, he doesn't have much range. There's a very limit, you know, like if he's going to do characters and stuff, like the one character that he does, that the recurring character that he does are when they do those video shorts and he's the dumb, like, pool boy.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's cool. All right. That character, that's one of the only one, but that's just him playing dumb. But, like him doing, you know, recurring characters is not a thing. He doesn't do impressions. Does he do impressions? Well, he did Rami Malek because he kind of looks like Rami Malek, which I thought was funny. But, like, the stuff that Pete Davidson is strong at are his bits on Update. And I think he's hilarious. I think he's great. And I thought what he did last Saturday, a lot of people, you know, were upset by it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny.
I totally agree.
But yeah, so somebody get the message back to me, you know, because Bill thinks he's funny, right?
Yeah.
And so like he was like, name names. He was upset if someone didn't find him. Oh, I'm going to make sure Bill knows that I think he's funny.
Yeah.
Because I think he's very funny, and I like him a lot. And he's also, do you remember the sketch that they did a few seasons ago when Larry David was the host and he played Kevin Roberts? It was the police were on a simulated shooting range where like robots would come out and you would have to shoot at them. It was like an FBI training shooting range.
Yeah.
And he came out and he was Kevin Roberts and he had like the orange suit with the weird glasses and the big cell phone. Hey, I'm Kevin Roberts and I'm the coolest bitch in town. So that's, you know, Kenan Thompson and Cecily Strong were the main ones, but Pete Davidson is in that sketch. And that sketch is, it's considered a classic. The Kevin Roberts sketch with Larry David is considered a classic, a modern classic. I mean, it was just, and the character took off, and it was just really funny. Hey, it's like, I'm Kevin Roberts. Can a bitch get a donut? That became like a catchphrase, and it's really hilarious. And so they put together this behind the scenes thing after the sketch took off online because you know people watched it. I can't tell you the number of hits it got on YouTube after they posted it online. So when it became so popular, SNL and NBC put together like a blooper sketch. Or a blooper show or a compilation of it from the first rehearsal ever through Dress through all the rehearsals through Dress when they do Dress with an audience through to the actual airing and throughout the entire Larry David couldn't get through it without laughing. Like he would come out and he could like would be crying with laughter, like couldn't say the words, he was laughing so hard. And then like so that was the first time the second time they rehearsed it, the third time they rehearsed it, he couldn't do it. He would just completely lose it. And every time they would cut, Pete Davidson would be standing behind Kenan Thompson just on the floor laughing. And it was just so hilarious. And Pete Davidson was just so delighted by the fact that Larry David could not absolutely get through this sketch. And then during the Dress rehearsal with an audience, he screwed up and started laughing again, and it broke Pete Davidson. And the audience, of course, loved that because that's a fun thing, you know. When when somebody breaks on Saturday Night Live, it's always funny. All you got to do is go back and look at the disaster that was Debbie Downer and the first time they did Debbie Downer with Lindsay Lohan, which is one of the funniest things on SNL ever. It's always fun to watch people like naturally break.
Yeah.
He did during Dress, but man, if he didn't nail it during the air. When it was live, he didn't break once. Larry David didn't break once. And it was remarkable considering how hard it was for him to get through it during the entire week of rehearsals and during Dress. So and watch Pete Davidson during that thing because he's hilarious. But I think Pete Davidson's great. And I every time he comes on Weekend Update, I always look forward to it. When he made fun of the politician who had the eye patch, and then caught hell for it, and then he came out the next week and he apologized, and the politician came out and just started ripping Pete Davidson apart. Brilliant. It was really, really, really funny. And he owned up. He apologized and brought the guy, and they brought the guy onto the, you know, they brought the politician. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but they brought the politician on. And it turned out to be a really great bit, and he turned it around. I think Pete Davidson's great, and he's got a huge future. And he's dating Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he? He's like 20 years younger than she is. She's like in her 40s. He's like 25 years old. He's a kid.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. Ariana Grande, and then he goes back and he goes up to Kate Beckinsale. I'll tell you something, man. It's good to be funny because he's not the most handsome guy in the world. He's kind of a weird looking dude, Pete Davidson.
I just gotta say, whatever Kate and I had, it's over now.
Oh, okay, that's what it was because you just broke her heart. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, we got a break here, and we got some weather. We got a break, and we'll come back. And when we come back. Ben, you hit the old theme for Fly Jams Friday and get your requests in. We'll get some in. We want to hear from you. What R&B songs would you like to hear? What Fly Jams or funky stuff do you want? And we'll get the requests in. DJ Obi-Wan is going to be here, and we got Viggity Viggity Vic, and I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki. And Fly Jams Friday is going to begin, but we need some requests from you if you want to hear certain songs. So it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Fly Jams Friday will begin after the break.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right. Fly Jams Friday. Yeah, we do it every Friday, and we play some Fly Jams, and Fly Jams are like R&B and funky stuff. And rhythm and soul and blues. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Get your requests in right now. DJ Obi-Wan is mixing, and Viggity Viggity Vig, verified double V, running around like a lunatic in the newsroom, and I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki. And we want to hear from you. What songs would you like to hear? So the request lines are open. Get them in there now at 312-981-7200 for requests. All right. Ben, did we get any early requests?
We did.
Okay, let's hear. What do we got? So who requested that?
That came from Dino.
Dino, and what was that?
That was Zapp and Roger performing the Doo-Wah-Diddy.
Ah, Zapp and Roger. We've had that that artist has been played a few other times on Fly Jams Friday. All right, we have more requests?
Yeah, I have
all
a
right.
few.
Who do we got? Who's up next?
Up next comes from Rasco.
Okay.
And little James Brown.
All right. Yeah. Rocky IV, man. Rocky IV. James Brown tearing it up in Rocky IV. So that's what I think of every time. Every time I hear that song, I just think of Rocky IV, which is one of the most ridiculous movies ever. Yeah. All right. Any other early requests?
Yeah, we have one more.
All right.
from the 773, we have Funkadelic with One Nation Under Groove.
All right, this is a jam. Here we go.
Don't tell me now. Do you promise the funk? The whole funk, nothing but the funk. Ready or not, here we come. Getting out of the one which we believe in.
That's Fly. That certainly is Fly. Right. Very cool. Very cool. All right. We got some people who are calling in then. Right, Ben? It's 312-981-7200. Let's start with Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve. Hello, Steve?
Hey. Sorry. I walked away. Believe it or not, I'm up this early in the morning and I'm making fresh banana bread.
Well, good. Bring some over. All right, what do you got?
Yeah, well, we can smoke some of the bananas later.
All right. What's your request, Steve?
Oh, here. Chambers Brothers, Time.
All right, here we go. Making some banana bread at 5 o'clock in the morning. Chambers Brothers, thank you for the request, Steve. That song is used beautifully in this really basically unseen horror movie called oh my god, why am I blanking on the name of the movie now? Bad Dreams. Ben, you ever see the movie Bad Dreams?
Can't say that I have.
Yeah, no one has.
Okay,
but it's great. It's really, really, really great. It's about they raid a very Charles Manson like cult group, and it follows one girl whose family was killed by the cult, and she's in a mental institution, played by the great Jennifer Rubin, and it's all these weird visions that they're having and all these horrible things that are happening in this mental institution to the patients, it came out the same year as the Dream Warriors, the third Nightmare movie. Yeah, the third Nightmare movie came out the same year as the third Nightmare movie, and it was essentially the same kind of plot, because the third Nightmare movie, the Dream Warriors, was a bunch of victims of Freddy who were in a mental institution, and he terrorizes them in the institution and they fight back. And that's essentially what Bad Dreams was. And it also starred Jennifer Rubin. Both of them had Jennifer Rubin. So obviously the Freddy movie made a lot of money and Bad Dreams didn't, but they used Time by the Chambers Brothers in that movie. All right, Steve, thank you for the call. All right, here's Carl with a Fly Jam request. Hi, Carl.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if we could hear Back in Time Again by LTD.
All right, let's see. Here we go.
Sometimes I just don't know. Every time I move, I lose. When I look, I'm in. And every time I turn around, back in love again.
Great song. Great song. Fly, funky, great. All right, we got time for one more before we get out of here. Scott, what's your request?
Car Wash from the late 70s.
Yeah, that would be Car Wash
that movie.
By Rose Royce. Car Wash by Rose Royce. Which, this is a classic. They used to play this when I went roller skating at St. Andrews. That when we would roller skate, we had roller skating after school every Tuesday at St. Andrews Gym over on Addison. And Car Wash was a big, big, big song that was played during our roller skating time. Do we have it, Ben? There we go.
Some of the work gets kind of hard.
Yeah.
And this ain't no place to be if you plan on being a star.
Thank you, Scott. Fly Jams. DJ Obi-Wan, thank you, my friend. And we'll do it again all next week. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning for the regular features. My dad will tell a joke, the Monday morning movie reviews, and we'll get the final wrap-up and report of Eric from Eric Childress from the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin.